Praise God. Yeah. Thank you, Kent. Great job, my buddy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Junior, would you take care of that for me? Turn it off. Woo-hoo. Glory to God. I feel better about myself. What about y'all? Hallelujah. Well, the Word of God is so rich, so wonderful. It is an everlasting seed of God. It is incorruptible, indestructible, undeniable, and comprehensible in spite of what the devil says. Oh, you can't believe it. Yes, you can. The Holy Spirit is the greatest teacher. And as Kent saying, we may be just shepherd boys, but there's a lion of the tribe of Judah on the side of you. There's kingdom stuff on the side of you. So we stand tonight, Father, in the name of Jesus, to honor your word. Lord, download into us tonight everything we need, that we'll not be hopeless, but we'll be hopeful. We'll not be discouraged, but we'll be encouraged. We'll have purpose. We'll have destiny. We'll have a path. We'll have direction. We'll have understanding. You're not the God of confusion. You're the God of understanding, peace, and clarity. So speak, Lord God, tonight. May we have ears to hear. And may we digest the Word of God. And leave this place not like we came, but leave here knowing that the one in me is greater than the one in this world. I can't go under for going over. I can't lose for winning. Father, we thank you. And Lord, we thank you for the ministers in the body of Christ that travel and go and minister and preach. And we thank you for the anointing. But we are very specially honored tonight to have our pastor. And Lord, what an anointing on his life and what he has imparted into us over the years can never be calculated by a calculator. It can never be seen in the natural, because it has eternal consequences. And Lord, we at Faith Outreach receive the Word of God humbly, and we handle it, Lord God, with great esteem. And we apply it, Lord God, knowing that it is your Word to us. So, Father, we honor the man of God tonight that comes to bring us your word. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. By the Holy Ghost, the Lord has said, there are many spirits in here that are empty and void of the Word of God. And that's why you're weak. And that's why you suffer many things. But if you'll put the Word of God in you and put it to work and believe on it day by day by day, it will transform your life into something very strong and very special. So get ready to be filled tonight with the Word and the Spirit. Make yourself available. Say, here I am, God. Fill me with everything you have. And we all meet at the cross. And we all say thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give the preacher a good hand clap tonight. Glory be to God. Reverend Tracy, praise God. Come on, buddy. Obey the Lord.
Hallelujah. Well, you may be seated for just a moment. While that prophetic word was coming forth, the Spirit of the Lord instructed me to do something. And He does things like this at times in an atmosphere where it can be accomplished, so that people may learn and step into the next place. You know, one of the things that I had a significant challenge doing is moving to the place where, let's just say this. Paul told the church at Corinth that he was standing before them with fear and trembling. Didn't mean he was a scared man, timid man, or a fraidy cat. It meant that he understood, after visiting the third heaven, what God had requested and desired of him to do and what was at his disposal, and he had no articulate words to wrap around to communicate what he was carrying on the inside of him and the judgment he would answer to for fulfilling that assignment. So with fear and trembling and reverence and awe, he mustered up his natural courage. He got his soul renewed so that he no longer saw himself as a serial killer, and he could even write to the Corinthian church, "Receive me. I've defrauded no man. I've wronged no man." He had to get a whole new identity, that he was no longer Saul of Tarsus. He was Paul the Apostle.
That's right.
And with that, he stepped into a revelation that actually God used him to grant to the church about an understanding of righteousness, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Wow. And it revolutionized his ability to walk in resurrection power. In every city he went to, he turned the world upside down. But he didn't just run headlong into it overnight, the assignment that was on his life. And he had to walk it out. We read the book of Acts, and it seems like chapter after chapter, there's great miracles, but we need to understand that the book of Acts took place over a period of about 30 years. It's the only book in the Bible that has no amen to it.
That's right. Yeah.
Every book has a conclusion. The book of Acts is left open-ended.
Right. That's right.
Because the Acts of the Apostles and the Acts of the Holy Ghost through the Apostles is still going on today.
Amen. Amen.
Right. Yeah.
Jesus of Nazareth is here, and He'll do today what He's always done.
Amen.
So with fear and trembling, we stepped into an office some years ago, and some of the men that are actually present were there when they saw what the Bible calls a presbytery, men that are mature in ministry that recognize an anointing gather around us. And I finally said, okay. I resisted it for years. I resisted for years moving into a place of really overseeing ministers and pastoring pastors and ordaining ministers. Not really because I was afraid of it, not because I felt that the Holy Ghost wouldn't equip me or give me revelation or grace. That wasn't it. It's more that, you know, who am I to step into that role? And there's plenty of people out there to do that. Let me just stay off the radar and do my thing and obey God. And so that's just who I am. And so with fear and trembling, there was a few years ago, after we decided to step into the role of going to the next level of ministering to ministers, he really talked to me in some great detail. I'm going to go ahead and say it here because I'm safe here.
Yes.
About the office of apostle. And you will remember being in that meeting. And the men gathering around, and it's like a fountain opened up over our heads from heaven. Men, fathers in the faith, been my fathers in the faith for many, many years, began to move prophetically. Hilton Sutton, many others, spoke into our lives about that. And it was a real blessing to enter into that role. And like in any situation, when Israel gave, you know, Joseph a coat, He had to learn how to walk in that coat. Everybody has to learn how to wear the coat their father gives them. Well, there's an element of spiritual fathering that is really lost in the body of Christ. We have a fatherless society, especially where preachers are concerned. We have a lot of popularity about gathering people to yourself and having spiritual sons. And actually, it's almost a mark of either success or identity to say, oh, I have so many spiritual sons, and they measure it by these things. The measuring stick of success in the kingdom is not numbers or nickels. It is finding and fulfilling the will of God. Right. Now, I'm not exactly sure where I'll go from here, although I have a very clear track, because I'm leading into something that we're going to do tonight, because this is a safe place. And the thing about fathers is teachers impart knowledge. They share, communicate information. Fathers beget. See, the difference between an apostolic fathering anointing is it has the ability to birth something new in your life.
Yes. Right. Amen.
So you can have 10,000 instructors, but not many fathers.
Amen.
Because there's not many people that carry the anointing to see into your life, to see the gifts that are in you that are unwrapped that maybe you don't even see. Pull them out, show them to you, and then unwrap them, and then lay the hands on you and anoint you and say, go get it. And the office of apostle helps you to discover the gift that's on the inside of you that you didn't even know was there.
Right.
There's something about King David when, in the book of Chronicles, it said that King Hiram sent and built David a house. And it says David perceived that God had confirmed him king of Israel. Now, isn't this interesting that Samuel, the prophet, called him out, prophesied to him, and anointed him? For years, he slayed Goliath, killed the lion and the bear on his way to the throne. Then eventually, after he was brought in and served under Saul and everybody knew he was anointed, then eventually, Saul, of course, passed on. David became king. He's sitting on the throne. He's eating at the king's table. He's wearing the king's crown. He's married to the queen. Everybody calls him king in the street. And he doesn't see himself as king. He's walking in something that he's already walking in, but he don't know how to walk in it. Because inside himself, his inner capacity had to grow up to the coat. He had to grow up to fit the coat. That's the only way I know how to say it. And consequently, he made some mistakes. I mean, you remember the time they were bringing the ark back. And they carried it on oxen and carts, and they stumbled, and a man died. And if you read the story, it says because they didn't seek the Lord after the due order. And it says that a breach was made in the spirit. And we're talking about the glory of God here. And one of the major keys in that story is, it says, David consulted the people. So they contrived a plan to bring that anointing back. Well, it didn't work. It didn't work primarily because kings don't consult the people. See, here he is a king, but he's not administrating like a king because he doesn't see himself as king. And it wasn't until King Hiram sent and built him a house that he perceived God had established him king of Israel. Well, what's the lesson? The lesson is sometimes it takes another king
right.
to help you to see yourself as king.
Exactly.
There's the reality of you seeing yourself differently when you have a fathering spirit to bless you and see something good in you. When your daddy believes you can, somehow something rises up inside of you.
Right.
Now, this picture is much greater when you perceive and conceive that this really is a relationship to our Heavenly Father, because our Heavenly Father, the Bible says, we have known and believed. This is 1 John 4. We have known and believed the love that God has toward us. And in that passage, it says, once you know and believe the love God has towards you, then he says, perfect love, mature love, a mature revelation of the love God has for you and towards you will cast out fear. Because fear has torment. But you'll have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world.
Amen.
So it is a recognition of your Father believing in you. See, the big deal is you seeing yourself the way God sees you. And when you do, 1 John 3 says that now are we the sons of God. And it may not yet appear what we shall be, which means we are something now. We are actually something now that has not yet appeared. Glory be to God. But here's how it appears. Here's how it comes from the unseen to the seen. When we see him, we shall be like him, for we will see him as he is. So revelation, seeing into something, is the key to getting into something.
Right.
You can't have it if you don't see it.
That's right.
Which is why God told Abraham, lift up your eyes and look to the north, south, east, and the west, and all the land that you see, I've given it unto you. And then he told him to rise up and walk it out. So he showed it to him in an instant, but he had to walk it out over a lifetime.
Right.
I'm going to say it again.
Right.
He showed it to him in an instant, but he had to walk it out over a lifetime. Now, this same thing happened on the Mount of Transfiguration, or even when Jesus was tempted of the devil. It said he showed him the kings of the world in a moment of time. See, God can show you something so big in a moment of time that you can't comprehend it. It overwhelms you. But he doesn't intend for you in the next 30 minutes to accomplish all that. He hadn't given you something to do and not time to do it in. Good steps of good men are ordered to the Lord.
Right.
Yeah, I'll do that, Lord. Would you look at this verse in Romans chapter 4? Is it okay for me?
Yes.
I don't know how this is going to turn out, but I just heard the word of the Lord come to me. And he says, tonight you're going to talk to the people about walking into the glory. And don't get comfortable, John, because you're still going to do what you were sent here to do. Okay? He's just orchestrating it. We're birthing something. Okay? We're birthing something. You were supposed to be here tonight, Brother Kent.
Yeah.
There's a new level of our relationship together. New advance of your grace. What an anointing on you tonight. We love you guys.
Yes. Amen.
Whew, glory to God. And if it's all right, I'm in the river.
Come on.
So I'm just going to follow the leader.
Amen.
Romans chapter 4. And I would like to read, glory be to God, verse 12. And the father of circumcision, to them who are not of the circumcision only. Now look at this phrase. But who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. Do you see that phrase? He is the father of those who walk in the steps of that faith. Faith has steps. Did you hear what I said?
Yeah.
Faith has steps. Faith takes steps.
Yeah.
You've got to take the step. When it's time to take the step, you have to take the step. Even if the ground has to be created under your feet.
Right.
Right. See, the priests had to put their foot in the Jordan before the water rolled back. God's talking to some of you right now that 2014 is your year to make a transition.
Amen.
It's your year to move to a new place.
Yes.
There are steps that are going to take you there. Glory be to God. And faith has steps. So we need to understand, and we need to see that we're going to step on into that. Now, by the Spirit of the Lord tonight, what I thought was going to be just a few moments of standing up here and really obeying what he told me to do when I saw into it, and I am doing that. It's like anything else when you unfold it. It begins to unfold before you. That's what happens when you take steps. You go through a door into a room much larger than you ever dreamed that God wanted you to occupy. So tonight, there are some things that the Lord wants to do in stepping on into what he has for us to do. Now, turn with me, please, to the Gospel of John, John's Gospel, chapter 11. Now, we know the story that Lazarus had gotten sick. It seemed as if he was at death's door. They sent a word to Jesus, you have to come quickly. And he didn't get in a hurry. He stayed there two more days. When he finally got there, they said, Lord, if you had been here, our brother wouldn't have died. And then, of course, he presses through the doubt, the weeping, the groaning. He himself loved the family. He wept. They said, behold how he loved him. Certainly, no doubt he loved Lazarus, but I think he also was weeping because the Bible said he grieved. He was grieving, and Jesus didn't take on a spirit of grief. He broke grief. Right. I think he was grieving over all the doubt and unbelief. Right. That's my personal... In fact, it doesn't matter. Anyway, and so when he stepped up in verse 38, John 11, 38, it says, Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself, coming to the grave, it was a cave, and the stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, said I not unto thee, that thou wouldst, if thou wouldst believe, if you will believe, what will happen?
See the glory.
You'll see the glory. Now understand, faith has steps. So the glory is something you walk into.
Right.
It doesn't just come upon you. You walk into greater levels of glory. As you're able to see yourself stepping into the manifestation of the Word coming to pass in the planet, you walk into greater levels of glory. Glory be to God. Because see, faith has steps. And here Jesus said, if you believe, you'll see the glory. So it's going to take faith to walk into the glory. Especially the glory of resurrection power and such things. So when the Bible tells us, well, let's just look at it. Once again, I'm just going to follow the leader. Go with me to John chapter 1, please. Verse 14, it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. You see, so many people are looking for the spectacular to say the glory has come. And in looking for the spectacular, they miss the supernatural. They always think they're going to see, you know, some smoke or a fire or a lightning bolt. Well, those things can be seen. We've seen those things. Those things shall be seen. In fact, we're walking headlong into them. Glory of God manifested at your church when I was sitting in that chair. It fell in that place. Pinned you to the bed for nearly 2 days. But on the third day of the evening, and we had to take the step. I mean, I'm not trying to expose anything. I would never embarrass them. But, you know, as you walk out in anything, when there's a new level, when there's a new level of stretching, when there's a new level of believing, when there's a new level of giving, that meeting stretched them. They had to believe God to do the meeting. The resources weren't there. Is that the truth? Y'all told me this later. So to think about going a third night, when you already didn't have the resources, you're just faithing it out anyway. And you're feeding 40 and 50 people a night because this is the way she does things and all of those kind of things. And you're walking into it. The stress and the pressure builds up. If you don't learn that the kingdom is the source,
right,
you're in trouble. Because that third night, the glory fell. Every bill was paid. They were able to give and sow the largest seed they'd ever sown to that time in their lives. But we didn't get there the first 30 minutes. In fact, they'll admit it. We talked about this that first night. That first night, I'd put it in the top three toughest services I've done in 30 years of ministry. And it's not because it was their church per se. It's just for whatever reason, whatever the enemy was trying to do to stop that glory was coming against them. It was coming against me. It was coming against the people. Oh, but it shattered.
Yes, sir.
It shattered because we're believers.
Yes.
It shattered because we took faith steps.
Right. Praise God.
You have some barriers in front of you that are going to shatter. Right. And the glory is going to shatter them. Because you're going to take faith steps. Yeah. See, the word becomes flesh. So when you're laying hands on someone, like the second night, we saw the glory. It wasn't just about the third night when the office of prophet came. He talked to us about 4 years in advance. And I mean, my goodness. People pinned to the chair and people falling out of their seats and glory of God moving in the building. Well, the second night, you know, we had herniated disc healed. We had a lady come in on an oxygen tank or whatever it was. What do you call that? COPD? Your aunt? I mean, God just working creative miracles. What happened when she got new lungs? What happened when they got new discs? The word became flesh. We beheld the glory. He sent his word and healed. Anytime God's word comes to pass in the earth where you can see it and handle it, you have seen the glory. And faith steps will take you into that place where you can have and hold in your life and in your body and in your finances and in your bank account and in your children and in your future manifested glory.
Amen.
Glory be to God. So many times, Brother Jimmy, you know, especially in the early years, now in the circles we run in now, because of all the teaching and preaching and track we've run, we don't face this as much in our circles, but I'm telling you, I've had occasion to be outside the camp a good bit in the last few years, and it is still out there bigger than it's ever been. All of the religious tradition of things like Paul's thorn in the flesh and miracles have passed away and all the things that we, that just changed our world when we got revelation of it in the Bible.
Right.
We got a whole generation that doesn't know anything we know. They don't know come here from Sikkim, spiritually speaking. And those same demonic doctrines are still being perpetrated. God make you sick to teach you something? Miracles have passed away. God doesn't do that today. In fact, there's a few months ago, there was a conference in California called Strange Fire. A man named John MacArthur was leading it. And it was a fulfillment of a prophetic utterance that the Lord told me was going to happen. I told my congregation, John, you were there. I told some ministers at a minister's meeting. I said, the Spirit of God shows me that Satan is going to release a tremendous... how did the Lord say that? I'd have to go back and read my notes how he said it, because I'm saying it a little differently than the way he said it. But basically, it was going to be a tremendous, not just a persecution, but a spirit of offense. That's what he said. A spirit of offense at the church concerning the manifestations of the Spirit of God and gifts of the Spirit. You're going to try to get the mainstream church offended at the glory. Well, if you're offended at something, you can't have it.
That's right.
If you're not sure it's God, you can't have it.
Right.
Isn't that right?
Right.
So the word became flesh. It becomes flesh. Glory to God. The word becomes flesh. Glory be to God. The word becomes flesh. Now, you heard what Brother Jimmy prophesied there. I pray that you heard and listened and had ears to hear. He talked about issues, the Holy Ghost. That wasn't Brother Jimmy. That was heaven talking. Heaven said almost all of the problems in our lives are because our spirits are empty of the Word. Now, you know, Proverbs 4 talks about this. Proverbs chapter 4. Hallelujah. Now, Lord, do you want me to go there? Because I'm going to take a different track now. Just give me a second here. Brosko, erdiski, eskila, lava, dosiste. Maradabaronske, siridibastungirjeta, debalafraka, debaruduski. Meta, rota, speridofta, mara isko, renasiste. I see that. Okay. All right. He does want me to talk about Proverbs 4 because I'm going to point out something to you here. Now look at what he says in Proverbs chapter 4 starting in verse 20. He says, "My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes." Now underline that. Underline that. We're going to come back to it. "Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life to those that find them, and health." Health to what? Now we have another picture here, that the Word becomes flesh. He just said it. He said, if you keep the Word in your ears and keep the Word in your eyes and keep the Word in the midst of your heart, the Word will become healthy flesh.
That's right. That's what he said.
That's what he just said.
It will manifest. The Word works.
Glory be to God. Now, we need to see then that divine healing doesn't come from the outside in. It comes from the inside out. We receive healing into our spirit. And our spirit, for out of the heart, it says, the life of those who find the health of all their flesh. Look at verse 23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Can you bring that up in the Amplified, please? The word issues is a big word. Now notice what it says here. Keep it with all diligence, and above all that you guard, for out of it flow the springs of life. The Hebrew word for issues is the word force. It literally translated would be forces. There are spiritual forces that your heart releases to your flesh. Now, what would that spiritual force be? Well, according to Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. So every time you hear the Word, you're sowing faith into your spirit. You see that? Now, there are steps of faith. Right? So that faith then will begin, you begin to believe, hey, God has a way for me to be completely whole. God has a plan. Now, what's interesting about the Word, and I want to point this out to you because we're going to begin now to tie it back to where we were. What's interesting about the Word is he said this, keep them in your heart, let them not depart from your eyes. Now there's two things I want you to see. He says in verse 20 here, incline your ear, right? Give attention to my Word, incline your ear to my sayings. Know this, when you attend to the Word will become sayings. You meditate on that Word long enough, you'll start talking like that book. Because it'll come up out of you. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, that's very important. Now, why? Why then? Why would you say something differently about yourself? Because you see yourself differently.
That's right.
Now, this is the bigger issue. The bigger issue is, if I attend to this Word and I don't let it depart from my eyes, then instead of seeing myself sickly,
right,
I'm going to see myself healthy or well.
Right.
Because the Bible says by His stripes I was healed. If I was, I am.
Right.
And I'm the body of Christ.
Right.
So when I keep my eyes in that book,
right,
that book's going to cause me to see myself well. Are you with me? So the moment I don't see myself healthy is the moment the words departed from my eyes. I've let the word depart from my eyes when I don't see myself well. Well, same is true with every other promise. If I don't see myself strong enough to do it. If I don't see myself with enough wisdom to be able to make it happen. If I don't know what to do. If I don't see myself with enough money to make ends meet. You know, money runs out before month runs out. Well, I'm not seeing myself the way the word calls me. The word says my every need is met. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
Right.
That I have plenty to meet my need and some to give away to help somebody else meet their need that doesn't know how to walk by faith.
That's right.
But I have to see myself that way. And the only way I can, the only thing powerful enough to get down inside of me and reset my vision is the Word of God. And this is exactly what it says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. He says, the Word is alive. Now, if you don't mind, I'm going to minister out of my spirit, but I am going to ask you to follow me up there so they can read it on the screen, and you need to follow in your Bible, just because I'm not using my Bible. And I don't mean this offensive. I don't mean this arrogant or anything. The reason this comes up out of my heart is I put it in there.
That's right.
I have opened my Bible. I've seen it in my Bible hundreds, thousands of times.
Yes.
You need to lay your eyes on it.
Amen.
So open your Bible. Write in your Bible. Highlight in your Bible. Take notes. Have something to go back to. Because he says here in Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is alive. Whew, glory. Wow, this is big. Say, the Word of God,
the Word of God
is alive.
Alive.
Now, I don't know that the Lord will allow me to spend long enough in this to just take you to the Scriptures to prove that the Bible is actually a person. But you need to know that's a living document you have in your life.
That's right. That's right.
The Word of God's alive.
Yes.
Which means it'll talk to you.
Right.
I do want to digress enough to look at this because I was in Proverbs a moment ago. And I want to go back there and read you something. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse 22. Actually, we'll start in verse 20. And we're going to read four or five verses. But look at what it says. This will really bless you. Because the Word's alive. Say, the Word's alive.
The Word's alive.
So it says, let's go back. That is King James. But we're talking about Proverbs. We need to follow in Proverbs 6:20. Proverbs 6:20 says, my son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart and tie them about your neck. Well, we're talking about getting the Word down in you.
Yeah.
You see that? When you go, it will lead you. When you sleep, it will keep you. And when you awake, it'll talk with you.
Praise God.
Did you know the Bible will talk to you?
Yes. Yes.
Did you know while you're going, the Word will lead you because it's alive? While you're sleeping, the Word will keep you because it's alive. And when you wake up, the Word will talk to you about your day because it's a living document. Hallelujah. God's Word's God's voice. So he says, for the commandment is a lamp. Oh, wow. Isn't that an amazing statement? The commandment is a lamp or a candle. The law is light. And in its instruction is the way of life. So the Bible will shine light on the path that's going to take you to the Zoe life of God, the life God intends for you.
Right.
Now when we understand that, He says basically the same thing in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. He says once again to Joshua, because Joshua has now taken on the task of leading 3 million people into a promised land that he has seen the most anointed man he's ever known that God visited with face to face be unable to do.
Right.
Can you imagine putting yourself in Joshua's shoes? You have followed this man for 40 years. You've watched the glory. You saw the angels. You saw the Red Sea. You ate manna. You saw the quail. The earth swallowed up, opened up and swallowed people. Water has come out of a rock. The people's clothes didn't wear out.
That's right.
And he's up on a mountain that's shaking and trembling, and there's hailstones and lightning and cloud for 40 days. And he comes out of there with some tablets God wrote on.
Right.
And his anointing wasn't enough to get into the land. You've watched him operate in all this. You're his associate. And God says to you, you're going to be the one to take them in.
Wow.
Moses is dead. He couldn't get it done. So you arise. Go over the Jordan.
Yeah.
You talk about intimidating. So God's going to show him how to take the land. God's going to show him how to step into his leadership role because he doesn't see himself as capable.
Right.
So God has to assure him in the verses before, verse 8, as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. God has to get courage in his heart. He says four times in a few verses, be strong and very courageous.
Yeah.
No man will stand before you all the days of your life. See, Joshua has to begin to see himself differently if he is ever going to get this done. And the way God instructs him to change how he sees himself is verse 8. He says, this book of the law shall not depart from out of your mouth. Doesn't mean you shouldn't speak it. Doesn't mean you should never, it shouldn't come out of it. No, it means God's word should always be in your mouth. You should never depart from having the word in your mouth. Remember, the word becomes sayings.
Right.
This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Now look at this phrase. This is a key phrase. That thou mayest observe to do. The word's alive. I said the word's alive.
Amen.
So the word will show you how to do itself. You don't have to figure this out. What you got to do is get the word in your heart.
That's right.
The word will show you how.
Right.
It's obvious you don't know how, which is why you got to get the word in you.
Right.
It's obvious you can't do it, which is why you got to have heavenly help.
Right.
Amen? Because what he's calling you to do is bigger than you. Oh, but no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Glory to God. Amen?
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Yeah, I'm happy inside. Glory. Hebrews chapter 4, once again here, verse 12. So the word is alive. It's alive. It's powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. And the only thing that can get down inside your default setting and to rearrange that default setting is it has to be deep enough to get down in the root of why you think like you think. So the only thing strong enough to change the way you think is the Word. It'll renew you. And the Bible says once you get renewed in your thinking from the Word, it'll transform you.
That's right.
There'll be a metamorphosis take place.
Yeah.
And now you won't see yourself as the people who are grasshoppers in their eyes, we are in our own eyes. You'll say, let us go up at once and take the land. We're well able to take it. But that's how you see yourself, see? And the word will change that. So he's saying here, the word's alive and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, to the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now look at the four levels. The word will affect you physically, your body, the joints and the marrow. It'll divide between the soul and the spirit, but it goes deeper than that. It will affect your motives. It'll change why you do what you do. It won't just change what you do or your ability to do it. It'll change why you want to do it.
Amen.
Have you ever meditated on Hebrews 11:6 enough to see that when it says without faith it's impossible to please Him? Have you ever flipped that around and realized that the reason you have faith is to do what He pleases? Did you ever realize that faith works at its highest level of capacity when you use your faith to accomplish what He pleases for you to do? That's why so many people never really get their faith to work, because they're working their faith on their own plan, and it's not designed to work at its highest capacity on your plan.
Right. Come on. That's good.
So good, right?
That is real good.
You know, Romans 12 tells us that. Romans 12 is so clear about that. It says in verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And that you be not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove,
yeah,
and here it is, what is that good,
mm-hmm,
and acceptable and what?
Perfect.
Perfect what?
Will.
For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that's among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Well, when you're using that faith to carry out your plan, you're thinking out more highly of yourself than you ought to. When you're using your faith to try to get something done that's not His perfect will, you're thinking your plan's better than His, so you're thinking more highly of yourself than you ought to think. You're not thinking soberly. Now, I'm going to connect some dots for you here. For God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. So the measure of faith God has given you works at its highest capacity when it's attached to carrying out the perfect will of God for your life. So many people don't get their faith to work because they've never let the Word get down in there and correct their motives. They're thinking more highly of themselves than they ought to think. But he says there in Romans 12:3, we're to think soberly.
Right.
Now, what is sober thinking? Well, 1 Peter 5 talks about it. 1 Peter 5, starting in verse 7, says we're to cast a care on Him because He cares for us. For your devil, as the roaring lion, roameth about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist, steadfast in the faith. Now, the part I didn't quote is the fact that Peter says, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil roams about. Well, now, we see then that sober thinking is I'm supposed to use my faith to resist the devil.
Right.
Now, when you combine that with Romans 12, he says we're not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. The faith God gave you is for the purposes of removing mountains, resisting the devil, getting things out of your way to get the perfect will of God done. See that? So, when we're using our faith on our own will, when we're in the permissive will, we're actually giving place to the devil. No wonder he can stop us. Because it's not faith that doesn't fail, it's love that never fails. And faith works by love.
That's right.
When you love God so much, you don't want to displease Him. You're going to get His perfect will done. When you let that Word change those motives, no man will stand before you all the days of your life.
Right.
Wow. So it's why you got to stay in the Word until you can observe to do.
Yeah.
So that's what He says in Joshua 1:8. Attend to that book. Stay to it. Stay to it. Stay to it. If you will, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then you will have. Then you will see the glory. Remember, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld the glory. Having success is seeing the Word do what it said it would do. The Word come into seen manifestation. You could say, my son, depart not. This book of law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt see the glory. Why? Because the Word will show you how to take those faith steps that will walk you right into the glory. Jesus said, didn't I tell you that if you would believe, you'd see the glory?
Amen.
Whew, glory be to God. Now, this is important because as we go back to Hebrews 4, 12, he says that the Word of God is the only thing powerful enough, sharp enough, to get down into all four parts of our being to change something. What's he trying to change? Well, verse 13 tells us what he tries to change. Verse 13 says, neither is there any creature that's not manifest in His sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him. Do you notice? The Word's not only alive now, the Word is a Him. And Him has eyes.
Yes. Wow.
That Word is trying to get into every part of your being. Your flesh, your soul, your spirit, and your motives. To cause you to line them all up in the same line with singleness of vision so you can see yourself the way He sees you. And when that living Word unifies you to the place to where you see yourself the way He sees you, you will see how to walk right on into the manifestation of the glory. Because He says right here, neither is there any creature that's not manifest, 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 manifest. Manifest. Glory be to God. I tell you, it's awesome in the Amplified Bible. In fact, let's read this in the Amplified. This is really awesome. There's not a creature that exists that's concealed from His sight. So there is no devil that can maneuver and stop you in a hidden agenda, wily, secret strategy. When you're operating in the Word and you're walking in the light, the Bible says that we don't wrestle with flesh and blood. For principalities, powers, and the rulers of darkness. Now think about this. Rulers of darkness. What does that tell you about the devil? Rulers of darkness can only rule in the darkness. They can't rule in the light. You bring the devil over into the light, he loses his power. The light shines in the darkness comprehended it not. So you bring the devil over into the light, he loses his ability to rule. Why? Because he's powerless against you except to deceive you. So when you can see his maneuvering,
right,
he can't outmaneuver God. Are you kidding me?
Right.
And that's what he's saying about the Word. There's not a creature that exists. There is not a created being that exists that is concealed from his sight. We're talking about the Word. Glory to God. You want to get your inner man filled up with the Word. But all things are open and exposed, naked and defenseless to the eyes. Man, when you can see the devil for who he is, he loses all of his ability to hold you.
That's right.
That's why revelation knowledge is the most important thing in the planet. The reproduction of it is absolutely essential to the kingdom of God. I was preparing on July the 7th was a Sunday morning. And I was talking to the Lord because we have what is fastly becoming multiple services now, but I started it about maybe a little over a year ago. Well, I mean, I certainly started over a year ago as a Bible class, and then it transitioned into a discipleship class, and now it's kind of transitioning into our first service. But that discipleship class was our leaders that helped us in the main service and so forth. And it was like an adult Sunday school that I taught myself for an hour. And it's been a real blessing to the people that have attended. It's certainly been a blessing to me if it hadn't been a blessing to them. And I'm really wanting to help people. I'm wanting to grow them up. I'm wanting to mature them, help them know how to walk in victory, all of these things. And so I was talking to the Lord about that class. And I said, Lord, I was praying this prayer, which I pray, you know, on a consistent basis. Lord, help me to help the people. I mean, I realize that, you know, people don't know what they need. Lord told me that one time. He said, I'll never forget, he talked to me. He said, son, don't preach what the people want to hear. They don't know what they need.
Exactly right.
I mean,
you're right.
He said, if they knew what they needed, they wouldn't be in the mess they're in.
My goodness, that's good.
He said, I sent you to tell them something they don't know. Glory be to God. Because, you know, you don't know what you don't know. And if you don't know something, you don't know you don't know it.
That's right.
Because you don't know it.
That's right.
So I said, Lord, help me to help the people. And actually, I wrote this out. Now, I don't know if you've ever had this experience. God's been so good to me. He speaks in various ways and divers manners and sundry manners and all of that, as the scripture calls it. So he speaks in by impression, speaks through the word, speaks through dreams and visions and prophecies and prophets and through the word of God, rainbow word of God. And he can speak with an audible voice if he wishes. It's not customary. He typically leads us by the inward witness. And, you know, I'm talking to the Lord consistently and he talks to me. I hear his voice. But there are a handful of times when that direction comes so suddenly it startles you. And it's so clear that it just, it's like you're praying a prayer and you know he answers prayer, but you're really just talking to the Lord. And the next thing you know, you hardly get the words out of your mouth and bam, there's the answer. And I mean, and it comes like you're talking and sitting down across the table from somebody. Now that doesn't always happen, but it happens sometimes. And as you walk on with God, for me it's happened, you know, a number of times through the years. And that particular morning on July the 7th, I told the Lord, in fact, I wrote it down, Lord, would you please help me to help the people? And I mean, I no sooner got that out of my mouth than he replied, and I'm talking about, it's like he sat on the couch right beside me and was talking audibly in my ear. He said, son, like the people that walked the earth when I was in my physical body, I can't help them beyond them giving heed to my word. Ooh, man. Now, he didn't finish there. I got a little bit more to tell you what he said. But it exploded on the inside of me. No wonder he couldn't help those people in his hometown. They wouldn't listen to anything he said.
That's right.
If you're not going to give heed to his word, he can't help you.
That's right.
If you won't do anything the man says, he can't help you. I always tell people, don't be idiotic. Why even go to the doctor if you ain't going to do what he said? Save you money. Well, why would you go to the Lord to help you if you're not going to do what he says? Isn't that right?
Right.
So he said, so he replied to me, I said, Lord, would you please help me to help the people? He replied, son, like the people that walked the earth when I was in my physical body, I can't help them beyond them giving heed to my word. They had to give heed to my word then as you do today. They didn't just receive from me because I was there in my physical body. He said, many when I walked the earth did not receive from me. He said, I am the word in manifestation. And he quoted to me the verse we looked at, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. He was the word lived out in front of him. He was the word in manifestation. That's what he said to me here. He said, I am the word in manifestation. If they are not responding to the word, I can't help them any more today than I could help those people that would not respond to the word when I was walking the earth in my physical body. He said, tell my people if they will respond to my word, I will do for them today what I did for those that responded to my word when I walked the earth in my physical, earthly phase of my ministry. Woo! Now you see, this is important. How important is prophecy? How important are the gifts of the Spirit? The Lord spoke through the man of God a prophetic utterance because He loves us. You know, prophecy is a manifestation of His love.
Right. Yes.
The Bible tells us that in 1 Corinthians 13, that we're to follow, we're to seek to excel in the edifying of the gifts, and we're to seek the best gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 14. When you get in 1 Corinthians 13, He says, I'm going to show you a more excellent way. And He talks about love. The entire chapter is about love. So by the time He gets to 1 Corinthians 14, He says, so seek love. Make it your great aim, your quest. Pursue and follow it. He says, and then he says, for he that prophesieth brings edification, exhortation, and comfort. He just said in the Scripture then that prophecy is a direct manifestation of His love for us.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So He loved us tonight through this clay vessel. By saying to us, the reason you got all these issues is because your spirit is not full of my word.
Right.
Now, if we won't walk out of here and begin to make an adjustment in that, how can He help us?
Right.
How can He manifest the glory when the glory is the word becoming flesh and we won't even get the word in our heart?
Right.
So, He wants to teach us how to walk into the glory. Amen?
Amen?
Praise the Lord. So if that's the case, then let's look at another verse here. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Are you getting anything tonight?
Yes, sir.
2 Corinthians chapter 3. And let's begin reading. Let's begin reading. Man, I want to read the whole chapter, but I'm going to resist that. Yeah. Let's do that. Let's begin reading in verse 9. This will help you. The Apostle Paul says, and this is going to be a key link here now. I don't know how far we'll get tonight, but it's going to be a key link to the ultimate purpose of stringing all these meetings together. And that's why I really want to encourage you to be in every one of them.
Yes.
Now, there's going to be a supernatural deposit left in every church.
Yes.
Because there are some people that are just going to come and sit at their church, and I understand that. But also God loves the whole body.
Yes, He does.
And He's trying to bring us all into a different place.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
So He says here, for if the administration of condemnation be glory, much more, now He's talking about an Old Testament and a New Testament, that the Old Testament glory was glorious, but when the New Testament came along with such a bright light, the Old Testament dimmed in glory because the New Testament exceeded in the glory of God and in the manifestation of that glory. Now, he's talking about lesser light, brighter light, Old Testament, New Testament, lesser glory, greater glory. Now, it's important because he's about to connect for us what is a part of the process of walking into that glory. He's about to tell you right here the key revelation you must have that will stir you to have the faith necessary to take the step into the glory. I'm going to read it to you in verse 9. Are you ready? For if the administration of condemnation, that is the Old Testament, had glory, much more does the administration of righteousness exceed in glory.
Praise God.
Until you get a revelation of righteousness, you're never going to have the courage to step into the manifest presence of God. Because you're going to wilt under the withering gaze of the fear that expects torment and punishment. You won't go into that presence. Because you're going to expect God's going to judge you. You're going to expect you did it all wrong, and you hadn't fasted enough, and you hadn't read the word enough, and you hadn't prayed enough, and why would God do this for me? See, righteousness totally destroys all that condemnation and lets your faith explode before God. And without a revelation of righteousness, you're never going to be in a place to take those faith steps into the exceeding glory. So it's the administration of righteousness that's going to cause the manifestation of glory, the greater glory, to excel. So the church has got to get a revelation that they're righteous before they can ever handle what he wants to do next.
Amen.
Now we'll come back to this in just a minute, but I want to point out something to you here in the Gospel of John. Jesus paved the way for the New Testament. Now we were talking about in 2 Corinthians 3, we were talking about the New Testament, Old Testament versus New Testament. But in John's Gospel, Jesus made a statement. And in doing so to his disciples, he actually prophesied and paved the way for the New Testament to come into manifestation. Because what he basically said was, well, let's just read it. It's John chapter 16, verse 12. John chapter 16, verse 12. And look at what it says. He says, I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Now, you need to understand that the Holy Spirit is working on your inner man right now, so that you can come up in maturity and in spiritual capacity for him to be able to say to you what he needs to say to you. Amen. To show you what he needs to show you. But he can't show you what he really wants for you right now, because it'll overwhelm you. He has some things that are so much larger than your capacity to even think he wants to use you to do.
That's right.
But he can't even talk to you about it.
Right.
Because you're probably struggling with the rent.
That's
so
true.
So you're not going to take the step. You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
So, and we'll come back to that in a minute. So what I want to show you is, he goes on in verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he won't speak of himself, but whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He will glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it to you. All things the Father hath of mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and show it unto you. Holy Spirit wants to take absolutely everything the Father has given Jesus and show you how to walk in the fullness of everything Jesus himself walked in.
Yes.
That thought is so overwhelming to most people. For example, when they were in that storm in the boat, and Jesus spoke to the wind and the waves, and it stopped. The disciples, the guys that had seen all the miracles, that actually were chosen to walk with him. I mean, it's kind of like a pull to Mississippi. Oh!
Yeah.
I had never seen anything like that. They were so overwhelmed, they said, what manner of man is this? Even the waves and the wind obey him. They were so marveled that he had that kind of authority. So when he turned to them and said to them, why are you afraid, O ye of little faith? When you read that, it is extremely clear that he rebuked them for not doing it themselves. It's extremely clear. Why didn't you have the faith to talk to it? Remember, he was asleep in the boat.
Right.
If you study it, they are his helps ministry. If you study what's going on here, he was exhausted from 3 nonstop days of preaching all day long to crowds and ministering to the sick by the thousands. He was very little sleep. He was completely exhausted and hadn't had anything to eat. And when he got in that boat and said, let us go to the other side, Now the very least his helps could do is have enough faith to get him from one church to the next to go preach.
Yeah. Yeah. Say so.
You know, when they woke him up, see, that's what helps ministry does. It has to deal with the storms that arise to keep the anointing from going to the next place.
Ooh, that's good.
And you got to have enough faith to deal with that. You shouldn't be running in there 5 minutes before the message asking the pastor. You know, oh, we run out of water. What do we do?
Get water. Get wood.
It's not the pastor's job to think for you. You know Jesus was exasperated because he's having to say, ah, here we go again. I got to do my job and your job.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
Which, by the way, I'm going to say this right now. You did come turn on the heat here, didn't you?
I did.
I love you.
I love you too.
But you need to quit doing that. Y'all can turn on the heat, can't you? Early? Y'all remember turning on the heat? Would somebody take that job off of him? Please. Make sure that you come to the building early. Turn on the heat. And if he's just like, I want to make sure the heat's on, then text him and tell him you turned it on. So he can stay at home and in the word and prayer like he's supposed to.
Amen. Amen.
Now, I mean, if somebody called to do that here tonight. Now, he has to be at peace with it, but let the man of God know you're called to do it.
Amen.
Now, Jesus rebuked that storm. Now, here's the point I'm trying to make with this. They were so overwhelmed that even he could do it. The thought that, oh, that the thought they could do it never even crossed their mind. Now, see how he's thinking? I was on the phone with somebody today, and we were talking about the different things that have taken place lately in the power of God. These guys were there to see the supernatural unity that's coming to the church, the prophecies that are being fulfilled, and around the world lining up for the end time harvest, some things that you never thought you'd live to see this day. I don't mind articulating this to you because it's not a secret, but on New Year's Eve, New Year's Eve, right prior to turn of the new year on 2012, the Spirit of God spoke to me quite a number of things that were going to take place that year. Among those things, the Lord said there would be a major shift in the Catholic Church. Now, some of you got those CDs or whatever, and we published it, and we let some folks know it was among the prophecies that the Lord gave. He said there would be a major shift in the Catholic Church, and I sensed it was with the Pope. Then the Lord said, all things are lining up for the end. And he emphasized this to me, just almost thundered it in my spirit. He said, and tell the people not to put their own interpretation on this, because the Catholic Church is not evil, and it is not the Antichrist.
That is right.
The church really, the Lord just really spoke that to me. Well, some days later, I was preaching in Chattanooga. Well, it's the Chattanooga area. Rossville, Georgia. So it's kind of a border there on North Georgia. And I was ministering with some folks there. Pastor Alan Kreider, who I think has been here before, who had a brain aneurysm and died. And he was comatose and brain dead. And this is no hope. Unplug him. Well, the Lord gave my wife an open vision. The Spirit of God spoke to me, calling back from the other side. Some of you know that story. He was comatose for days. Well, as he tells the story, Jesus walked up to him. And he said, Jesus, you're so beautiful. What are you doing here? And he said, Alan, I'd like to ask you the same thing. Obviously, the enemy had tried to take him out early. And he wasn't supposed to be there. So Jesus said, I'd like to ask you the same thing. To see whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. He didn't know he was out of his body. And so Jesus said, Alan, you can't stay. They're calling you back from the other side. And he turned around. The Lord showed him a portal, a hole. And he said, he heard my voice come through that portal, calling him back. Glory be to God. Behind that, he began to hear other partner voices. And Brother Copeland's voice was behind mine, he told me, and some other things. And so, glory be to God. While he was over there, the Lord Jesus handed him a green velvety scroll with tassels hanging off of it and said, "Now when you go back, this scroll is for the final leg of your race, the final phase of your ministry." And what's interesting, he unrolled it and he saw a lot of things on there, you know. But when you're in the spirit, you see and comprehend, and it goes down into your spirit. When he came back to earth, much of it he couldn't remember. Now, the reason is because he's going to have to walk that out by faith. Hello? So Jesus can reveal to you something in a moment that's going to take you a lifetime or some years to walk out. I'm talking about walking into the glory. Hallelujah. So in that, he told him the names of about, it's less than 10. It's either 7, 8, 9, something like that. Less than 10 people that would come to power and hold positions that would be end time players and players in end time events. Among those people, Jesus told him there would be a new pope. And he would be born again and he would be an end time player. Well, I didn't know that. I mean, I knew about the death and all that, but I didn't know Jesus told him that. So when I'm there days after the Lord told me about the shift in the Catholic Church, I'm there days after that, and we're talking in the back room before I went out to the meeting. He said, "Jesus told me that." I said, "He told you what?" And he told me what the Lord told him about what was going to happen in the Catholic Church and the Pope. And he said, "Did you know 2 days from now they're going to elect 22 new cardinals for the purpose of electing the next pope?" I said, "No, I didn't know that." So it was like January the 9th or whatever it was of that year, they elected 22 new cardinals. Then, you know, those cardinals were in office and some time passed. Well, when you came in a year from that time in the spring of 2013, suddenly and unexpectedly for the second time in hundreds and hundreds of years, the pope resigns. And didn't tell anybody. Now, why doesn't a sitting pope resign? Well, because, and they serve till death. Well, they usually serve till death because they don't want to split in the church. They don't want a pope to resign and be living and then another pope come into power and then people follow this pope and not transition to the new pope.
Right.
So they don't typically, it's never been in history. So a sitting pope resigning is a huge deal. He resigned. Now, if you heard any of the comments that he made, he said he decided that a year before. He served a year after he settled it in his heart he was going to resign. That means the Holy Ghost was working on this situation exactly when it was prophesied. We were seeing the things to come. Wow, glory to God. Isn't that awesome? So then a new pope gets elected, and totally unexpected to anybody, he comes from a totally different background. Well, come to find out, we just came out of a meeting. Actually, it was Brother Copeland's minister's conference. And on Wednesday night of that meeting, there was a young man there that Brother Copeland had been partnered with, supporting for some years. And turns out that over the years he had been mentored. And I didn't hear the opening remarks, but I heard the balance of most of his remarks. You guys might have heard the very start of what he said. turned out he had a very close relationship with Pope Francis, the one that's sitting now. So when they announced this pope, he said, "This is my mentor. This is my spiritual father." And this young man is named Tony. He's still in the Catholic Church, but he is born again. He is filled with the Holy Ghost. He's full of the word of faith. He stayed in that arena of the Catholic Church, has these relationships, but Brother Copeland supported him for many years. So he calls the Pope. Turns out he winds up going to the Vatican, sitting in the Pope's private apartment, and the Pope sends a video greeting personally to Brother Copeland's minister's conference via this young man. And we find out that not only are they believing God for the body of Christ to destroy all of these barriers and come into the end time harvest. But we find out he is one of the first openly, not only born again, but spirit-filled, charismatic popes. And we found out, I found out personally, this was not public in the meeting, that he is very pro-Israel.
Praise God.
And that he had just come back from a prayer meeting in a synagogue with Israeli leaders. Mm-mm-mm. We say, well, what about his social agenda? Well, Nate, is your worldview perfect?
No, no.
You see how tradition has just bound us? Mm-hmm. No, I'm not in left field. No, I'm not out here chasing false Christ. No, I'm not going to show up next year with a collar. But I can tell you this. My whole point behind this is we are at the harvest of the ages.
That's right.
The end time harvest around the planet is going to begin to be swept in by the hundreds of millions of souls because Jesus is going to get his John 17 prayer answered. Now, and I was on the phone today with somebody, and when I said it the way I said it, it just rocked their world. I said, you see, the problem is we've all thought this was about us getting our prayer answered. And this isn't about us getting our prayer answered. This is about Jesus getting his prayer answered.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
Do you understand what I'm saying to you?
Yes.
I said, we've been looking through the wrong end of the binoculars. You know, when you look through the wrong end of the binoculars, things are a little bitty and they're way off. You turn around, whoa, hey, he's right there. Glory to God. Jesus sees this thing differently than we see it. And the only way we're going to step into the things that God is going to do in this hour that are beyond anything we could ask or imagine, all of the spectacular displays of resurrection power and glory and signs and wonders and the end time harvest of the ages. Did you know Isaiah prophesied nations are going to be born in a day? I said, did you know Isaiah prophesied nations are going to be born in a day? No, no, you didn't get it. I said, did you know a little one will become a thousand in a short time and nations will be born in a day? So 24 hours after this greeting, God graced me by relationship to be standing on the stage immediately behind a man that's the vice president of Nambia. Spirit-filled, graduate of Christ for the Nations University. And is about to become the next president of that African country. Had a word for him in the back afterward. We talked a little bit. I saw the canopy just go, whoosh. I saw, and I don't see this very often, but it was open. It was right before me. I saw myself in Nambia.
Amen.
Doing meetings.
Amen.
Glory be to God.
Amen.
I'm telling you, I told him, we're coming. They don't have the date for the inauguration set and elections and all that. I said, we're coming for the inauguration. Glory be to God. I said, glory be to God.
Yes.
Now, we're going to have to come up in our thinking. And the thing that's going to change our level of thinking is a revelation of righteousness. It is the scepter. According to Hebrews 1, righteousness, a scepter of righteousness is the scepter of his kingdom. All authority is wielded through righteousness. Righteousness is the rod of God that will be extended through the head of the church over the nations of the earth. When he talks about ruling the nations with a rod of iron, he's talking about the scepter of righteousness. The force and authority of righteousness is the power to deliver anyone from anything at any time. Because he was not raised from the dead till we were declared righteous. The fact that he who knew no sin was made sin to be sin for me so that I might be made, created, a new creature, the righteousness of God in Christ means that in his name it is right for me to carry the same authority in the earth as the head of the church.
Right.
When I use the name of Jesus, it's like the rod of a righteous scepter extended and every knee will bow and every tongue will swear. He is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I am the righteous. righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And the revelation of this is the New Testament understanding of helping us to see, 2 Corinthians 3:9 tells us, that the administration of righteousness exceeds in glory. If we want the glory to come, and we want to walk in the glory, and we want to experience the glory, we're going to have to begin to allow the Holy Spirit to bring to us what He said last night, which is, I will cause to come down for you the rain. I've sent the former rain moderately, and the latter rain, and then they're both going to come down in the first month. And what we saw, the definition of Hebrews was, I'm going to send you a teacher of righteousness according to righteousness, so that when you get a revelation of righteousness, righteousness will bring restoration of the years, the cankerworm, the palmer worm, the locust, and the caterpillar of Eden. Righteousness will release recreative power that's going to deliver you from every force that's been holding you back and make every knee bow and every tongue swear. The scepter of the free gift of His righteousness is going to cause the abundance of His grace to reign in your life, and you will reign as kings in life by one Christ Jesus, by a revelation of righteousness exploding in your soul. Woo! Glory be to God. Now let me hook some things together for you, because there's some things in your life, in my life, in our life, in our ministry being birthed tonight. Woo! There's a birthing going on, glory to God. We're going to a different place. You know, I said this, I don't want to be offensive, but I said this Sunday morning at home, and I kind of looked around the crowd and made sure, you know, I said, well, you know, I might as well go ahead and say it. I said, you know, the church's mind has been on birth control for years. They hadn't birthed a new thought. Glory be to God. Oh, but we're coming up. Yeah. I said, oh, we're coming up in Jesus' name. Yeah. Now, we're in John 16, so I want to hook here and I want to finish what the Lord's telling me to do. He says here that there's going to come a New Testament. And in this New Testament, the Holy Spirit is going to take what's mine and show it to you. So when Jesus prophesies, the New Testament wasn't written yet. But He's opening the door for there to be a New Testament. I have things to say to you. I cannot say them now. You cannot bear them. But I will say them in the future. And yet He's going to heaven. So how's He going to do that? Through the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's going to come. He's going to take what's mine. He's going to give it to you. This is the New Testament. Now, my point in pointing that out to you is backing up to verse 8. Verse 7, Jesus said, nevertheless I tell you the truth, it's expedient, it's good for you. Soon Pharaoh, I will bring together for you when I go away something that's going to be better for you. For if I go not away, He says in verse 7, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you. And when He has come, He will. Now, King James uses the word reprove, but it's actually the Greek word for convince. The Holy Spirit's assignment is not to convict. Some Bibles translate that convict. That's not the proper translation. Now, you do get convicted of something when you get convinced it's the right thing. In other words, you change your mind about it. Amen. So there's a conviction that comes. See, this is my conviction. You mean, well, it's my belief. It's the opinion I've come to. The word convict seems to be negative. In other words, like He's always going to talk to you about you're a sinner and you need to repent. That's not what this is saying here. The word actually should be translated convince. His job is to persuade you and me, to convince us of the truth. Amen. And Jesus said the Holy Spirit, when He teaches, is going to come and convince us of three things. Glory be to God. He's going to convince us of sin because they believe not on me. Which means no sin's going to send you to hell except the sin of rejecting Jesus. You don't go to hell because you sin. You go to hell because you reject Jesus. So let's flip that around. He's not actually convincing you of sin. He's convincing you of believing not. that believing not is a sin.
Yeah.
He's trying to convince you that believing not on Him is a sin.
Right.
So what He's really going to talk to you about is faith.
Right. Yeah.
Well, now, how do you know that, Brother Tracy? Because Hebrews 6:1 says that the fundamental doctrines of Christ, one of the fundamental doctrines of Christ is repentance from dead works and faith toward God. So the Holy Spirit, if He's going to teach everything Jesus has, and if He's going to stay with the doctrines of Christ, then what He's going to do is convince you of sin because you're not believing.
Amen.
So He's going to talk to you about faith. Holy Spirit's the Spirit of faith, so He's going to teach you faith. Are you with me? Then He says of righteousness, because I go to the Father and you see me no more. So He's going to convince you you're righteous because you don't see Jesus anymore. There's no work left to do to make you right with God. There's nothing between you and God now. He's seated at the Heavenly Father, and because you don't see Him physically here, the work is finished and He's made you right with God. He's going to convince you you're righteous. And thirdly, He's going to convince you of judgment. What judgment? That the prince of this world is judged already, meaning that the devil is defeated and he has no authority over you, and that you have authority.
Right.
So the Holy Spirit is going to talk to us in three main areas always: faith, righteousness, and the authority of the believer.
Amen.
You're going to know, Jesus said, you're going to know if the Holy Spirit's doing the teaching. By whether or not, by what He's teaching. And if it's my Holy Spirit, He says He's going to teach mainly in these three areas: faith, righteousness, and the authority of the believer. And He's going to do that for a reason. Because until the body of Christ gets persuaded that faith is the right way to live, that they are the righteousness of God in Christ, and the redemptive plan is finished, and they have everything. And three, they have authority over the devil, and no man will stand before them any day, all the days of their life. Until they get convinced of all three of those things, Jesus has things to say to us He can't say. So you can see why you haven't heard further instruction. Because there hadn't been the revelation of righteousness inside your heart to come to maturity where He could talk to you about what's next, because you'll shrink back from it with an inadequacy and a lack of confidence. You won't believe to go there because you don't believe it's right. It's not the right time. I'm not the right person. We don't have the right helps. It's not the right city. We don't have the right location. The economy's bad. I don't have enough education. See, all that's a lack of righteousness. You're telling Him, He told you to do it now, and you're telling Him He's not right. You're not right about this. You're not right about me.
Right.
You're not right about, I mean, don't you see what I see? See, you're walking by sight.
Right.
See, you're walking by sight.
Yeah.
You're walking by what?
Sight.
And not by faith.
Right.
But we're supposed to walk by faith and not by
sight.
Which is why God wants to change your sight. If He can change the way you see yourself, it's an indicator that you've changed what you believe about yourself.
That's right. That's right.
So when you see yourself righteous, you see yourself as able to do it.
Amen.
I'm able. He made me righteous.
Absolutely.
Come on. Talk to me about the next assignment. It's right for me to be your man. See? But you see what I'm saying to you here? Verse 12 says, there's some things He wants to say to you.
Yes.
That He can't even say them to you till you get convinced of righteousness. Because
yes.
Until you're convinced of righteousness and that there's authority in that righteousness to put down all obstacles to the objective, and that your faith will move that mountain and get it done, till you're convinced of that, He won't even talk to you about anything else. He'll just keep schooling you in faith. And He'll just keep schooling you in righteousness. And He'll just keep making you go around the mountain to make you believe you have some authority. Because He can't talk to you about things to come till you get these three things settled. Have I helped anybody?
Yes.
I'm talking about walking into the glory. Actually, God's having me sharpen the point of your arrow so you won't miss the glory.
Exactly.
All right. I'm going to one more verse and finish what I'm assigned to do to teach you how to walk into the glory and shift gears for a moment or two in what I saw in my spirit I have to do as a father. Now, it's interesting. I always tell people I have three women in my life. I love them all dearly. But I'm not related to all of them the same way. I got a mama, I got a wife, and I got a daughter. They're all beautiful women, lovely women. I love them passionately. But I'm somebody's son. I'm somebody else's partner. I'm somebody else's father. I'm not everybody's father. Huh? I'm not everybody's son.
Right?
So I don't presume to say tonight, because I'm operating in this anointing, that I'm your father, so to speak. But I do say, under this anointing, that he's asking me, as a father, to teach you by example. So there's something he's wanting me to do that I'm going to do. And he said for me to tell you, I'm actually ahead of myself, I was going to go to one more verse here before I got into this. But he said for me to tell you, he said, remind them how I led you last night to talk about fasting. Anybody get any information and understanding and revelation about that?
Right.
Did it help adjust you and get you?
Yes.
Well, see, that's what a father does.
That's good.
That's what a father does. Hello?
Amen.
All right. So let me go to this last verse on this, and then we'll get into one more thing tonight. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for helping me help the people. 2 Corinthians 3. Now, what I want you to see is this administration of righteousness exceeds in glory. Amen? Praise God. Now, drop down with me where it says in verse 12, seeing then. And it's going to start popping up to you about how you see yourself. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. Have you noticed how much bold you are to say something when you see it clearly? See, your inability to see it clearly is what's hindering your faith confession. If you don't see yourself healed, you're just going to have to practically force the words out. Because how you see yourself is how you talk about yourself. Amen? Yes, Lord, I'll do that. You guys are pulling tonight. I can sense it. Because you keep pulling me over into things. I tell you what, just to prove that point, hold your finger right there in 2 Corinthians 3 and go with me to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1 in the Old Testament. I'll just give you one example of this and settle it for you. In Jeremiah chapter 1, God said about Jeremiah, starting in verse 4, the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. And before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you and ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then said I, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak for I am a child. Do you see his inability to say anything had to do with how he saw himself?
Right.
Do you see that? Now let's watch God change it. But the Lord said to me, say not I'm a child. For you will go to all I send you, and whatever I command you, you will speak. Be not afraid of their faces. For I am with you to deliver you, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See? You're going to see yourself how you talk about yourself. So the way to change the way you see yourself is get different words in your mouth. See? Now, what did he want him to see? Well, let's read on. See, I have this day. Notice how God talks right now. You can do it now. I said you could do it, and the moment I said it, you can do it now. I'm right about it. See, that's righteousness. He's right about it. Woo, glory. So he goes on to say, see, I've set this day set you over nations and over kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, and throw down, to build and plant. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, what do you see? Now see how God's starting to operate in this? I see the rod of an almond tree. Then the Lord said, you have well seen. Now he's seeing right. Now, why is this important? I will hasten my word to perform it. Why is this important? Because the almond tree was the first tree to bear fruit of all the trees. So the almond tree had almonds, had fruit, before any other fruit-bearing tree yielded their fruit. In fact, the almond tree, instead of bearing fruit in the spring, bore fruit in late winter. When none of the other trees had fruit, the almond tree had fruit before the other trees. And he's saying, what do you see? He says, it's the rod of an almond tree. You have well seen, because he said, I will hasten, speed up my word to perform what I showed you. Meaning, you are seeing correctly when you see the word of God heal you before the cancer can kill you.
Amen.
See, when you see the word bearing fruit before the cancer bears fruit.
Yeah. Right.
Now you're seeing it right.
Right.
When you see that the blessing is faster than the curse, now you're seeing it right. So when you see yourself healed, instead of pushing up daisies, now you're seeing it right. And when you see it right, woo! When you see it right, through the eyes of the Word, you'll start talking about it and yourself differently from that day. See, Lord, set me over this thing. This thing going to turn out like I say. He set me to build and to plant and to pull down, root up and destroy. I'm going to destroy everything against me, and I'm going to plant everything God told me to plant.
Right.
And I'm going to do it now.
Amen.
I'm going to quit saying it's not time, and I'm a child, and I'm too weak, and I'm too young, and it can't be done, and I don't have enough money, and I don't have enough education, and I don't know where it's coming from, and I don't know enough people, and I'm in the wrong city. And stop all that nonsense. Quit all that mess.
Right.
Your tongue is binding. It's wrapped around your neck so tight you can't breathe. Tongue got over your eye teeth. You can't see what you're saying. You're going to wind up at the place of your most dominant thought and where your tongue is pointed. And words are more powerful than thoughts. So when you're daydreaming and your mind gets out there meditating on all that negative stuff of your fear and how it might turn out, start talking to it. And you'll find your mind will shut up to listen to what you have to say. Glory be to God. Whew, and start pointing at it. You're going to turn out like I say. Are you going to turn out like I say? I have authority in this matter. I'm right about this. I'm right about this. I'm right about this. See the righteousness consciousness? I'm right about this. God's right about this. God's right about the way to get healed. God's right about the way to get money. God's right about the way to have a marriage. God's right about the way to parent kids. God's right about the way to pastor a church. God's right about the way to run a ministry. God's right about how to sow and reap. God's right. See, God's right about it. And when I line up with God, I have no choice but to be right about it, because God's right and everybody else is wrong. And when I agree with God, I become right.
That's right.
Woo, glory be to God. 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 Hey, glory be to God. Is there anything rising up on the inside of you tonight? Say,
I right now,
in Jesus' name,
am
walking
into the glory.
Exceeding glory. It is the administration of righteousness. Whew. Now let's finish this up, this part of it, in 2 Corinthians 3. He says that we see, once we see it, we have great plainness of speech about it. He said, not like Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end. See, when you can't see the end from the beginning, you got a veil over your eyes. When you can't see how it's going to turn out, you don't have a right revelation about it. So he wants to remove that veil so you can see the end from the beginning. Glory be to God. Call those things to be not as though they were.
That's right.
But their minds were blinded, for until this day remains the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day when Moses is read, the veil is on their heart. Nevertheless, when it, New International says anyone, When anyone shall turn to the Lord, the veil will be taken away. Glory. When isn't he and his word, aren't he and his word one? Isn't the word alive and powerful?
Yes.
Don't you suppose that if it can penetrate between your soul and spirit, go to the joints and marrow and discern your thoughts, it can get the veil away?
Yeah.
See, isn't that what he said in Hebrews 4:13? There is not a creature that exists that's not naked and open and defenseless.
Right.
Nothing's veiled
right.
to the word.
Right.
The word will show you.
Yes.
Now the Lord is that spirit. Where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face. That means an unveiled face. With open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Whew. I'm walking into the glory. I said I'm walking into the glory.
Amen.
Because the longer I behold this word, the more I see myself able to walk in what he said now, to walk in the authority, to move the mountains, to cast out the devils, to lay hands on the sick, to have the income, to build that building, to fly that jet, to do whatever he tells us to do, to get this gospel into the earth, for the harvest of the ages is at hand. And I refuse to pull back, stop short, hold back, and fear what people think about what it's going to take for me to get this job done. Because I have taken my post as a harvester to harvest the earth. And I will not leave my post until I am relieved of duty. Either by my earthly headquarter commander moving me, or my heavenly commander telling me to shift, or the job is done. But I will not quit, and I will not stop short, and no demon will stop me, and no sickness will take me out, and no man will stand before me, and no mountain will move me, because I will do the will of him that sent me and finish this work, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, to the glory of God the Father. And you need to settle that the same glory is on the inside of you. The same spirit is on the inside of you. The same lion ripping a lion's mouth open, giant killing spirit is on the inside of you. There's a giant killer inside of you. Time for him to come out. Time for him to be let loose. Glory be to God.
Yes.
Till you cut me open and I'll swarm on you. What you see ain't all I got.
Yeah. Come on, man. You got some help.
I have help. And I don't say that arrogantly. God knows that. When I talk to the Lord, he knows that I died. And I know I died.
Yeah.
Oh, but I'm boasting in the champion of the ages.
Amen.
The one who went to hell in my place and rose from the dead and has the keys.
Right.
Who is dead and alive forevermore. Glory be to God. The lion of the tribe of Judah roaring inside me tonight.
Right.
Whoo, I can't lose what I use. Ain't no way. What would you do if you could not fail?
Yeah.
I got the grace for victory on my life. Glory be to God.
Amen.
Woo!
Glory.
You are anointed to win in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. I'm going from glory to glory. Say it.
I'm going from glory to glory.
Say it again.
I'm going from glory to glory.
One more time.
I'm going from glory to glory.
Say,
tonight,
I take a step.
Step after step.
Steps of faith.
Walking.
Headlong.
Into exceeding.
Manifested.
Glory!
Now!
Amen.
Glory be to God!
Glory.
Decide right now you're a giant killer in the making. Thank you, Jesus. Whoo! Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Whoo! I have preached myself happy tonight. Man, glory be to God. There's something in me wanting to get out of every pore of my being.
Yeah. Praise God.
Praise God. Woo, thank you, Jesus. Now, if you could bring this up in the Amplified, I'd appreciate this. Would you bring up Isaiah chapter 48, verse 17 in the Amplified? And we're going to read a couple of verses here. I want to make sure I got the right reference before I have to bring it up and try to read something. Now, we're going to shift gears because the Lord wanted me just like he did with fasting last night, to do something with this, and I'm going to obey him in Jesus' name. How about we start in verse... tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to start in verse 15 in the King James right now. Isaiah 48, 15. Bring it up in the King James so the people could see it. God says, I have spoken. Yea, I have called him. I have brought him, and he shall make his way prosperous. Is anybody here wants to be prosperous?
Yeah.
Man, I do.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Next verse. Come ye near to me and hear this, for I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. From the time that it was, there am I. And now the Lord God and his Spirit has sent me. Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit. Say,
my God
wants to teach me. How to prosper. Glory be to God. Which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldst go. Now you see the connection? Our prosperity is in him teaching us how to live and following his lead. Right? And when you get to verse 8, he said, oh, that you would hearken to my commandments. Then had your peace been as a river and your righteousness as waves of the sea. I want to read verse 18 in the Amplified. Look at what it says in the Amplified. Oh, that you had hearkened to my commandments, then your peace and prosperity would have been like a flowing river, and your righteousness, the holiness and purity of the nation, like the abundant waves of the sea. Peace and prosperity coming at you like an unending, never-ending flowing river. Like the waves of the sea. They come wave after wave. Praise incessantly.
Praise God.
Amen. God can teach you and me how to live that way. Glory be to God. Now. Now notice what he said. Now this is what a revelation of righteousness is going to do. Now one of the things about righteousness is he has a right way to do things. So when he talks to you about it, you need to do it his way. Amen? All right. So that being said, we're going to stay in the book of Isaiah for one more scripture here. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19. He says, if ye be willing and obedient, glory be to God. Did you know it's not enough to be obedient? It's not enough to be willing. You've got to have both.
Right.
If you be willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you'll be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The best, you know, some of the Hebrew writers that take the Hebrew and kind of open it up for you. In fact, Dale Culberson, a pastor that's ordained with us, talked to me about this, and he did some research and some commentaries, and he said the Hebrew scholars say that this is really the way that the Hebrew would read. If God were talking to you, like he was in front of you, he would say, if you would just let me help you, I will make you rich. If you'd be willing and obedient, you'd have to go to the land. If you would just let me help you, I will make you rich. You sense the anointing on that? All right, I got one more verse for you now. Glory be to God. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 16. He says, a man's gift makes room for him. A man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. Some time ago, when I was talking about some things where partnership in our life was concerned, the Lord talked to me about this verse. Now, because of the nature of what I'm going to teach you tonight, I'm not going to go deeper into it as a teaching. I'm going to do something by example. But the Lord gave me this verse because we know what it says. We see, and we've even heard that, all right, brother, let's say Brother Jay here, he's called and anointed to do something, so heaven has put a gift in his spirit. Well, if he operates in that gift, you know, I'm a firm believer that a prophet doesn't have to tell people he's a prophet. If he's a prophet, the proof will be in the pudding. I mean, they'll see the anointing that'll manifest. Other people will be calling him a prophet. They don't have to call himself one. Right? So the idea is our gift will make room for us. So the anointing makes a way. If it's there, it'll come out. That's one thing. Another thing is Queen Sheba, when she came to visit Solomon, did you notice how many gifts she set in front of her? Jacob and Esau, when Jacob felt like Esau was still going to be angry with him, have you ever read the story how he sent so many gifts in front to pacify Esau? Right. See, this is an old custom that if you wanted an audience with someone, you would send a gift ahead. Right. So your gift will make room for you and bring you before great men. When you went to a king, you didn't go to a king and get an audience with a king without a gift.
That's right.
So there's an openness, an audience, both of conference and revelation that comes through the bringing of gifts. That's why when you tithe, you move under an open heaven. It's why when your heart follows your treasure. So when you plant into your man of God, even outside of being able to write it off taxes, you'll give him some cash, put some cash in his hand. Something happens with the covering. It happens with your heart. Just dynamic things happen. So we see then that this law works on the first level. It works on the second level. But there's a level I never considered. And, the Bible unfolds in layers. The level I never considered was, God said to me, he said, now, your gift will make room for you. And I knew, and I'd taught that, you know. He said, I'm about to give you gifts, and they're going to make room for your voice. I said, really? And what the Lord told me, Brother Jimmy, was, you're a gift. And God gave you to us. You know what you did? You made room for me. To your people, into your church, into a group of people I would have never even known. Do you see that? His gift. See, my gift, because God gave this gift to me as a partner. The gift he gave me made room for me. And my voice went further than it did before I had that gift in my life. You see where I'm going with this? And the Lord began to tell me, I'm going to give you gifts. That's why men and women, great gifted men and women are starting to be gathered to us. Because there's some things he wants uttered, some things he wants said, the voice amplified, the voice increased into areas and arenas that are beyond our current level of casting seed and revealing righteousness and whatever he's called us to do in order to get this done. He's got to give us gifts that will make room for our voice to go further. Now, you following what I'm saying here? Now, I'm telling you this because the Lord, in prayer this afternoon, I'm just going to become real transparent now. The Bible says, if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. Tonight, I realize, well, I won't even say that because every time I do, people get back in the natural. Tonight, as I'm obeying the Lord here, is going to absolutely be life-changing for this ministry. Because partnership is reciprocal. Now, I don't know if he can, and I know he'll pray about it. I told Brother Jay I was going to do this privately. I wasn't going to do it publicly. I don't know if he can do this. This fall, I'm going to be going to Honduras, ministering to hundreds of leaders for several days, preachers. And then we'll go back in the spring of 2015 and do like a soccer stadium or an open-air miracle crusade and minister hundreds to thousands of leaders in Honduras. We've already got a couple that's based with us that literally picked up their ministry and came and planted in Texarkana that's establishing legally in Panama and is going to oversee the ministerial affiliation in Latin America, Kevin and Annette Aholt. And we've got gifts now that are starting to come from every direction. We've had a number of couples that full-time ministry in their own right have just picked up their whole operation and came and planted under the covering in Texarkana as an apostolic base to go out from there. God then, what has he done? He's given us gifts. Right. to make room to begin to amplify revelation. Now, partnership is reciprocal. Now, we're gifts to each other. I pray that we've been a blessing to them. But I know they've been a blessing to us. This church has been a great blessing to us. And one of the things that I see is an increase on his life and anointing. And provided the time works out and the opportunity is there and Holy Spirit should say to his spirit, come. I'm inviting you publicly because I see it in my spirit. I want you to come to Honduras with me. Now, here's the thing. Several things have to happen with this. It's called partnership. For his voice to go to those hundreds, maybe thousands of Honduran pastors, God doesn't have half a will. He doesn't intend this church to be without a pastor for several days or a week. So people that operate in a pastoral office have to start stepping up into their gifts. People around here that used to be patted on the back had to start stepping up into their gifts. Now see, we can't be so small-minded to say, well, now, Pastor Tracy, you quit prophesying our pastor off somewhere. You got to stop that nonsense.
Right.
How selfish could you be?
Right.
Don't you believe you have about the best pastor in the world?
Amen.
Why do you want to keep him locked in a room? That's abuse. You don't keep your 8-year-old kid locked in a closet. Why are you going to try to keep your pastor behind one? At least let him come out and play. Isn't that right? Besides that, we might be taking our own bird down there and he wants to ride on that jet.
That's right.
Here's the point I'm trying to make. Partnership is reciprocal. Each one of these ministry gifts are a gift. When a partner partners with us, when God stirs them up to say, hey, I'm supposed to be a part, you realize what you just did? You didn't just increase the speed of the seed. You made room.
Yeah.
Exactly right.
What you did is you started making room. I want you to understand what God's up to here. He's up to something special. And the reason I can do this here is because I'm home away from home. And everybody knows our heart. And I don't have to qualify what I'm saying. And here's a safe place for me to teach you something and be a father and step into wearing the coat.
Yes.
And birthing some things where I have support and understanding and faith.
Yes.
So, the Lord has asked me in front of you, now I did this in private already, but he asked me in front of you to teach you about this scripture of Isaiah 1 where he says, if you be willing and obedient, you have to go to the land. He's asking me to teach you something by example. I have to ask your forgiveness. I repent. I've already repented before God. And I repent publicly before you. Because I said something that's in my heart, and I mean it from the bottom of my heart, and it's not wrong, it's just not complete. When I say partnership is not about getting something from me, it's about getting something to you. As I was praying today, he said, now, you've been afraid. You've seen this misuse so much that you've been afraid. That people would think that you're trying to get their money. He said, you repent to them for being afraid, number one. And trying to phrase it in such a way that's not exactly like I told you to do it. So I repent. He said, number two, I gave you a plan. I told you to do this. You didn't come up with this on your own. I told you to do it. And if you're not willing and obedient with that plan, you cannot have what I'm telling you to do. It's impossible. And number three, he said, you are the most damnable thing you're doing that you need to repent for is I've set you out as a leader to teach them how to profit. And he said, you're keeping them poor. I said, what? He said, yeah. Because he said, you're right in telling them, well, I don't need your money, I need your faith. I do, because faith is the most valuable thing. Faith can buy what money can't buy. If I don't have your faith, I don't want your money. But we live in a natural realm where the world doesn't understand that. And here's what he told me to tell you. Here's how he corrected me. He said, but you're doing it wrong because you're setting them up for failure. Because he said, son, faith without works is dead. So he said, you don't just need their faith. You need their seed. He said, you quit being afraid that they're going to think you're after their money. And you carry out the plan I gave you because I want to make them rich. I want to increase the speed of their seed. And you are holding back. So I repent to you. Because I do want you to prosper. I don't want you to be held back. I repent before Almighty God for worrying about my reputation, because if I'm supposed to be a dead man, I'm not supposed to be concerned about what you think. And so therefore, tonight, I start fresh. Not just with the Speed the Seed partners, which is the exact plan he told us to believe in, but the partnership in general. To say to you, I'm committing to continue to get something to you. My motive, my desire is our needs are met by our sowing, not by yours.
Amen.
I still am not expecting anything from anyone because you're not the source. And I want you to understand my heart in saying about partnership was always to stay way over here to let you know I don't consider any human person our source.
Right.
Heaven's our source.
Right.
But how many of you know heaven uses people?
That's right.
So he's giving us gifts. He's giving us partners.
Yeah.
And through that partnership, he's going to increase them. The speed of their seed.
Right.
Manifest the harvest off of what they sow. And so their faith will get kicked to another gear when they get their seed, because he told me their heart follows their treasure. And if they just have faith alone and no works and they don't get some seed in the ground, their heart can't get involved with what's going on. So I said, okay. I said, well, but he wanted me to do this tonight so that you could understand what's about to happen here. He's asking me, he's the Lord that teaches us how to profit. So he's teaching me how to make an adjustment so I can prosper some more. For what purpose? To get this gospel out as fast as we can on every available voice so that people's lives can be changed.
Amen.
And I shouldn't repent for that.
No.
Just because other people have misused it doesn't mean we're not going to use it right.
That's right.
Isn't that right?
That's right?
Isn't that right? Glory to God. And the reason the Lord wanted me to teach you this is so you could adjust your thinking. Because our thoughts are what's holding us down.
Amen. Yep.
If we don't change the way we think about some things and see ourselves in the way he sees us, we're never going to go where he tells us to go.
Amen.
Isn't that right?
That's right?
And so we need to think differently about this. And I needed to repent to you to let you know I repented and I think differently about it now, because he is teaching me how to profit. Every time I see something that stretches me, I realize he's getting down on the inside of me and he's just destroying that generational spirit of poverty that came down through my family line. And he's putting an anointing on me to help destroy it and on everybody that partners with me.
Amen.
I know there's an anointing on us to prosper. There's actually an anointing on us to become rich. And I will, before I go to heaven, I'll be rich. I'll be rich personally and we'll be rich in the ministry.
Amen.
Under good works.
Yes.
And in the bank. And we'll do it so that we can have what we need for those that don't know how to believe God. And have, you understand, it's not about having, I have everything I need right now. I mean, I mean, sure, if your money's working for you, you know, and you don't have to do anything and you just got it in and you're just sitting down on a lazy boy, I understand that. I'm not at that place. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is that the Lord's blessed me. My family's healthy. There's food on the table. I don't go to bed at night worrying about tomorrow. I've got a vehicle to drive that's a blessing. You understand what I'm saying? I'm realizing that God is saying, son, how could you be so selfish as to just have what you need and get comfortable and stop? When my world's dying and going to hell, don't you need more so you can go reach them?
Right. Exactly.
So we have a mission. And I believe God's giving us gifts to make room for where we're headed.
Amen.
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 And I know he's given us this plan. Not just the 500 to 100 plan, but the partnership plan completely. And what I need to do, because I'm under this grace and anointing, I'm going to commit to it right now. I'm going to start. I've got some things together. I've been supposed to do this for years and years. Did you know the whole New Testament was God anointing apostles to communicate with strengthening, stabilizing, and edifying the church through letters? That's what the books of the New Testament are, is letters. And he told me, because I had stepped into this place, that I needed to write a monthly letter to all my partners. And I'm not talking about a letter about projects and a letter about what you need to help us with. No, no. None of the letters will have that in it. Every letter that comes to you will be to sow faith in your spirit to help you believe in the harvest off of everything. You follow whatever the Holy Spirit tells you to do on the reciprocal side. But if you become our partner, I'm going to see to it that something full of the Word of God and revelation and prophetic utterance gets into your spirit every month. That's my commitment to you. In Jesus' name. Because God's talking to me all the time about things. So, you know, it's not right for our partners not to know that 2 years ago the Lord spoke to us about the Catholic Church and the Pope. They could have been in on the know.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? And all that time using their faith and believing God. And now I'm a part of world events.
Right.
You can go to India, Romania, Honduras from that chair.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's the way this thing works. Now, with the pastor's permission and with your grace and favor to allow us the opportunity to repent. I mean, if we had an altar call and people were receiving Jesus, wouldn't we be excited about that?
Amen.
If people were repenting and
Amen.
Things were changing and things
Amen.
Were... With all my heart, I know that I know. I mean, I didn't start this last night. This isn't my first rodeo. So with all my heart, I know that I'm in line with the will of God right now. There's something big in our life, in our heart, in this atmosphere, and this even in your lives and in this church. Because what's going to be released here is whatever's birthed in me, because I'm connected with this church and they're connected with us, is going to be released into this church.
Right.
Do you realize if I'm seeing more clearly how to jumpstart this thing and move into sudden manifestation of prosperity, that that's exactly what's going to come on this church?
Right.
That you're going to the next level, and this service is about tonight, setting things right, just making adjustments, getting things in order, and off we go to peace and prosperity like a flowing river and the abundant waves of the sea.
Amen. Amen.
So this is as much ministry at this moment than as if I had people lined up in front of me and I was laying hands on them ministering healing.
Amen.
I know I'm just as much in the mind of God and in the will of God as at any moment when the glory of God comes and blows people against the wall.
Mm-hmm.
I know it because we're walking into the glory.
Amen.
And I'll tell you one more thing. I can sense it in here. Jesus just forgave me.
Amen.
I'm so glad.
Yep.
I mean, I know he did before in private, but thank you, sir. Now, with your permission, because you are our partners, because we are at home, would you indulge us for just a minute or two? Because last night, God's done some very special things. He's given us gifts. And it's time for the birthing of those gifts. It's not, honestly, if you knew what I knew in here, it wouldn't be a surprise to you at all that here you are using your gift in this meeting.
Right.
This is big. It's big stuff. Yes. And John and his wife, Krista, were pastoring in Georgia. God picked them up, closed the church, replanted under our ministry. His wife is very much responsible for helping bring those manuscripts into your hands. God used that gift. God gave me a gift to help get that word into the printed page, into your hand.
Yeah.
This is one of the gifts. You don't even know it, but his wife is a gift to you. If you're reading that book of victory and a revelation there puts you over, his wife's going to go to her account.
That's right.
And mine. But her account. Mine first, then hers. My point is, John also is a gift.
Yes, he is.
Since he's come underneath the covering associated with his grace, you don't have, I don't think you probably have a point of reference to how supernatural this is. But he's gotten five different type ratings. In how short of time? About a year? He got his private. He got his multi-engine rating. He got his instrument multi-engine rating. He's got his commercial multi-engine rating. And now his single commercial engine rating. And he was on the fast track inside a year through our ministry to get positioned for us to get type rated in the jet. Because I had to have help. Because this jet that God's going to give us, it's just not wisdom, nor is it as safe as it needs to be to fly that single pilot.
Right.
And when I'm walking out of a healing miracle meeting, and they got hands under my arms dragging me out the door because I can't function in the glory, I got to have two pilots up front so they can dump me in the back of that thing and take me home. And the Lord wants this because what's going to happen is, and by the way, jet's not the only thing we're going to have. We're going to have a King Air 200 that has reverse thrusters that you can put anything in that you want and load it up with fuel and people and bags. And if you can shut the door, you can fly the thing. It's built that way so that it can come into a 3,200 foot strip. And we can land right here in Oklahoma. And we can pick them up. And we can go on a 3-night tour to go take care of some churches or land in Houston, Mississippi and pick up Brother Jimmy and Miss Cora and say, your grace, we've got to have your grace.
Yes.
Or whoever it may be that says, hey, we've got to get these gifts together and take care of our ministerial affiliation. We've got a brother over here that needs us right now.
Right.
Or we've got an outbreak. Well, we've got a meeting that's been going for 6 weeks.
Yes.
Here's what I'm telling you. I'm talking about excessive glory. Here's what I'm telling you is the glory of God's about to hit the people that are connected with us. And there's going to be so many miracles, and it's not just going to be an extended meeting in one church. It's going to be happening in Oklahoma, and it's going to be happening in Jasper, and it's going to be happening in Moulton, and it's going to be happening in Houston, and it's going to be happening, you know, and here's what's going to happen. Is it's going to just be ongoing. It won't be dependent upon one man. The glory of God is going to come. But because of the assignment on our lives to bring that impartation and the relationships that are there, we're going to need that airplane to fly in Oklahoma and be here on Monday night and be in Jasper on Tuesday night and be in, Evansville, Indiana on Wednesday night. And the reason for that is the fire is going to begin to burn in every city to the glory of God. You watch what I tell you. It's going to start breaking out 6 or 8 places at once.
Yes.
We hadn't been able to think these thoughts because we're still struggling to come up to believe it's right that God could use somebody to do this. See, we don't mind. I'm getting a little ahead of myself here, but we don't mind somebody having a corporate jet because they've been on, QVC TV and have sold enough toilet bowl water that they can afford one.
Right.
See, the problem is not that we have an airplane. I don't think the world necessarily minds us having an airplane. The problem is they don't think our product is worth a jet. That's the problem. They have no respect for the product we carry. That's why I said, why would a preacher need a jet? See, they don't... They don't mind Payne Stewart, it wasn't a good situation for his jet. Let's go somebody else. They don't mind. Hey, listen, I was actually in Augusta, Georgia during the Masters preaching. And I taxied up beside a Gulfstream 4 with a big shark on the tail. Guess who that was?
Yeah.
Greg Norman flew in, and at that time, he was on one of his marriages. on her marriages to who used to be Chris Everett, and Chris Everett Lloyd became Norman for a while. And we taxied up. They pulled up in their Gulfstream 4. Huge. I'm talking about a huge airplane. Two people got off. Greg Norman's girlfriend, Chris Everett Lloyd, and her son. Just come watch around the golf. And you mean their product is worth more than ours? They're going to wear an alligator, or in his case, a shark on your shirt, and chase a little white ball around some grass, and it's okay for him to have a Gulfstream for? You see how Satan has sold us up the river? Now, the anointing on me tonight is to help us, and it's worth every minute we're sitting here. Because tonight is absolutely life-changing.
Amen.
Now, this is one of the gifts. He won't be long. He's only going to take a minute or two. In fact, he was going to stand up before I ever stood up. Share with you a little bit because he's traveling with me now. In fact, I was coming out of meetings and coming over here, and even though it's a small airplane, he'd been flying the airplane. He flew left seat over here, and for 2 hours, I was able to get ready for the meetings.
Right.
Oh, what a blessing that was. He's a gift. I could have flown that airplane easily. That's not the point. But it is tiring, you know.
Yeah.
And so he's a gift. And he's going to begin in these meetings to actually handle the book table and do some other things with us as well, and fly the airplane and all that. But this young man right here, I cannot believe I called him a young man. I'll hear about that. Because reciprocally, he's going to say, "And remember, you said I was a young man. That means you're older than me." No, he won't either. I'm kidding.
Oh, yeah, he will.
Yeah. Point is that he's got a strong, not only a preaching gift, but a prophetic word on him. He got a word for this church last night. He needs to deliver that word and then step into the birthing of what we have to do together. Will y'all allow him to do that for a moment?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Receive John Sosby. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Did you get anything out of the word tonight? Because,
yes.
I mean, he's not, like I told you, and he heard me. He heard me the first time, but I'm going to say it again for your benefit. He's not going to be long. It's not going to be about the length of it. But there's an impartation that's going to come to get your thinking on a different place. He's going to hear this word, and he's got one little video to show you to talk about that. And then, of course, now if you need him later, he'll be back there with Speed the Seed cards and all that. But I want to come and pray at least a corporate prayer to close the meeting. All right? So, all right.
And God spoke to me something about you laying hands on people also.
I tell you what we'll do. Because we have more nights, and our physical body can only, you know, it seems as if it wants to start talking to us when we go night after night. What we'll do, if we can maintain the spirit of the atmosphere, anybody that wants this impartation, not only of partnership, but an increase, the anointing of increase, you know, we'll stay here as long as we need to stay for anybody that wants prayer or hands laid on them.
Amen.
Fair enough?
Yeah.
So if y'all will give me, or give us just enough honor for us to step into that place where we can do that, we'll be available to pray with anybody or everybody that may want prayer tonight.
And I want to be really respectful of your time, but as he said, this is, you know, there's some ministers here, and, you know, many of you are older than me and have read the Word and been in the Word for a long time. And if you realize the value of some of the things that he spoke tonight, it can literally change our world. That somebody would be that in tune with the Holy Ghost to like a surgeon with a sharp scalpel to completely be able to go around and this organ and that organ and not cut and affect the wrong thing to where you might bleed to death over here or get hurt, that with great precision can go around what you need in your spirit developed. It takes a while to develop that level
in the realm of the spirit. And I thank God that he's put me with the person that has taken that time, because that just means I'm going to go a whole lot quicker than he did to get there. It's going to speed the seed of where I'm going, and it's going to speed the seed of where you're going. But God gave me a word last night, and I read it to them as they were leaving in the car. And I began to type it out this afternoon. And as I did, he gave me another portion of it. And the portion that he gave me confirms, you'll hear it in just a second. It's like word for word, things that you went through. This will be a word directly from God because he loves us. He gives us a word because he loves us, right? This is going to confirm things in the way that you just weaved around. And there's many times you were speaking tonight, and I just busted out laughing. And I wasn't being disrespectful. I was like, well, Holy Ghost, you do know a few things. It's pretty amazing. And if you're familiar with the Klondike and when there was an old-time gold rush, you know, these people went to a place they knew nothing about just before the promise that they might happen to get rich. They took their families, and I'll read a little bit here in just a second what God gave me about it. But they went to literally the middle of nowhere just for the promise of a piece of gold and developed entire new towns and cities. So you are familiar with that. And this is what God gave me about it and for this town. Change is coming to this town. It will be like a gold rush. But this will be known as a revelation rush. Like the people going to the Klondike willing to die just to receive what is coming forth as a supply. The ones that are coming will be babies with no knowledge of the light, revelation. They will be drawn to the light, not knowing what they are coming. They will be willing to completely forsake all on what looks like nothing to homestead here. But it will not be nothing. This will be everything that they have been looking for and what they have most earnestly desired. The gold is in the revelation. Like the people of the Klondike, they cross mountains and valleys through snow, rain, ice, harsh winters, rivers and streams with absolutely no knowledge of where they were going and willing to die and sacrifice their families for what was on the other side. They cashed in on everything they owned. They used their life savings, every resource they could get together just to come be a part of what they heard about would make them rich. In an instant, based on words of men from sometimes thousands of miles away, they were willing to completely change their lifestyle and location for the promise of blind riches. With absolutely no advanced media outlets, these people ran towards a promise on sheer determination and hope to fulfill dreams. And here's what he said, "My desires are your desires. I put dreams in you. I want you to dream even bigger than you ever have, but I am the supply. I am the God that will supply every resource and fulfill every dream to every joint now in this time. I need every joint in this last day to dream big. My word, understood and acted upon, will bring forth every resource, want, and earthly desire needed to accomplish my will with abundance, great joy, and a whole lot of fun." In this revelation rush, they are not coming because of blinded, unsure wealth. They will come because it is a sure thing, Holy Ghost guaranteed and warranted. There is a Holy Ghost boom coming. Remember last night he began to talk about heaven and earth coming together. Well, I just finished writing, there's a Holy Ghost boom coming, and he just said, there's a heaven and earth is coming together. The enemy will not pervert nor get the upper hand on this end time move. This place will be a hub for me being a supernatural supply to and for every need known and whatever is needed for mankind. This is for every pastor. And every church, you are now to become a hub for the moving of my spirit. I come to create, build, construct, inhabit, reframe, and get my anointed access and excess like you have never even thought was possible. I need you now, and he was emphatic. He said, I need you now to think like I think. He said, know this, my words create worlds. Do not limit my word to your basic needs just to make it. Start using my words to change cities and governments, to develop entire new ways of creative thinking, and my spirit will bring it to pass. My spirit is living in you, waiting on my words to create. Quit using just your words. Use my words. Quit saying the negative. And he told me, and I have never heard this. I know this was the Holy Ghost. He said, this is a master equation. My spirit in you, plus my words coming out of your mouth, mixed with your faith, equals everything you'll ever need and desire. I desire to do right now, exceeding abundantly, far above all that you can ask or think. You have my spirit and use my words. Mix it with your faith and get to the ask or think level. Then I will exceed that abundantly. My words are available to do far above. Many have been using my words to create far beneath. Far above is where I want to take you. My words have power right now. This is not something that's going to happen in the future. It's now. This will be the greatest year my church has ever seen. I desire for you to get on board with the moving of my spirit. There are many avenues needing attention. My flowing spirit will move swiftly. I will need you to be ready to make quick changes, quick lane shifts. I desire for you to be quick on your feet, be quick in the spirit. I need critical results right now in people's lives. It is right now time for you to be rich. I command you to be rich in every single area. My son died that so you could be rich. Get in position to hear my voice and get direction on where you need to be. I need you in the right place at the right time to get into your hand what I need to get into other people's hands because they will not listen to me. Understand your righteousness in me. To know this, I made you righteous. No matter where you have been or what you have done, when you are walking with me and using my words, I have made you right. For this end time move to work through your hands at a great level, you will first have to know you are right before you will be ready to move in the level of grace I will need you to flow in. Get in my word. I need you to understand who I am in you. I need meat eaters in my church. The milk drinkers are coming to fill your churches. I need meat eaters. Develop a walk with me right now. I will increase the speed of our relationship. I will increase the speed of your seed in wanting to know more about me. Just take time and spend with me, and you will not recognize yourself in 1 month's time. Give me your time. I will give you everything you need and desire. For there is a Holy Ghost boom coming right now.
Oh, listen. We have not talked. So the Holy Spirit's trying to demonstrate some things. That anointing is here right now. Glory be to God. The reason I had him, because he does not want to overstep and would not, and I thank God for that. But that word, here's what the Lord told me, that word is for this church, but it is the same thing as he said to me on New Year's Eve, this will be the greatest year you've ever had in the ministry. And as soon as he said it, I knew it belonged to every person partnered with us.
Yeah.
Same thing. This word, every pastor here, you need to get this word and settle it that it's for this church. It was delivered here, but it is for your life and for your ministry. Stand on it. Believe for it because it is why he has gathered us together.
Amen.
Yes. Will you do that?
Yes, sir.
All right. How long is that video? 30 seconds. We got something we're going to show you for 30 seconds and you'll understand why, because something's going to leap in your spirit, and then I'm going to pray for you in Jesus' name. But you'll understand the concept of everything that's been spoken tonight. See, And I will say one more thing, because I don't want to just take for granted people get it. I know that you get a volume of thinking, man, it's so much has been said tonight, I can't take it all in. Yes, you can. Because if you're wondering, why did this service go like this tonight? Did you hear the prophet of God? Your problems are that your spirit man is empty of the word. Tonight's whole agenda from heaven is not to do a whole bunch of other stuff, but for you to sit here and have word poured into your spirit. Do you not understand tonight is as much or more of a miracle service than anyone you've ever seen? I mean, I'm walking out of here knowing that the boom is happening. Woo! And the word is becoming flesh. And we're walking into the glory. Now this, what you're about to see was filmed just how many days ago? By you on an iPhone in Texarkana Airport. And then you can tell them what it is. Gulfstream 550, one stop to anywhere in the world. Go ahead. Tell them what it is.
Do you value this? This right here. Bought that right there. That's $30 to $50 million. Holds 44,000 pounds of fuel. That's 6,500 gallons of fuel. One stop anywhere in the world. We can load it up in Texarkana full of fuel, land in Budapest nonstop. But they are preaching the gospel of Coca-Cola with that right there. $2.5 million a year to operate. And they are preaching the gospel. And I walked out there and I watched it and I filmed it. And I absolutely thanked God for it. I said, God, thank you. Because if they can do it for a bottle of Coca-Cola, what can we do for the word that we have? Amen. How much more valuable? I'm telling you. Just go ahead and stand up if you would.
Woo!
Let's
glory
praise
to God.
God and let's glory. Thank God.
Thank you, Jesus.
There is an end time transfer of wealth that's coming to the church. And it's coming to your house because it's going to come through your hands to come into the church. So I would recommend get into an attitude of thanksgiving for the next several weeks, the next months, the next years. Thank God every time you see a new vehicle. Every time you see somebody flying an airplane overhead, every time you see somebody in a new house, a big house, you thank God for it on a consistent basis, because if a man that does not serve God our Father can do it, how much more can we as born again believers?
Glory be to God. I know y'all are ready to receive. I saw something this afternoon that I sat there, and when I saw it, I repented. I said, God, help me. Help me to carry this to the fulfillment of everything I see in my spirit, but to do it the right way. And I began to see programs like Your Max Life Now. It's Christian believers using all the principles, teaching people how to succeed. And they're anointed to do it. And the message is biblical. But I realized that the entire message was introspective. It's about how I can have my best life. And every book that's being written now is all inward by the Christian church. And we're using faith for me, faith for a bigger house, faith for a better car, how I can have my best life. No, no, no. This is, yeah, we're going to have every bit of that. But our faith isn't even so that I can have my best life. No, my faith is so that what their vision is, to get a bottle of Coca-Cola in the hand of every person in the whole earth, they got that because they're getting out there with it. And the world is ahead of us, and we got this thing in the wrong way. We're not believing for this so it can come on the inside. We're believing for this so that we have what we need to go to the earth and preach this gospel. I saw myself doing it, And I'm going to do it three times. One here, once there, and once there. You put your hands up. I'm going to command the anointing of increase to come on you. For you to have direction, to be taught how to profit and prosper, to walk in this anointing of increase suddenly and supernaturally in Jesus' name. I'm going to command it to come on you. I'm going to call it down on you. It's up to you by faith to receive it. But I saw it. I saw what's about to happen. And if you'll receive it, in 30 days' time, you'll see a change. In 60 days' time, things will be rearranged. And in 90 days' time, you'll be free of some pains and chains. You'll be changed, rearranged, and free from chains. Changed, rearranged, and free from chains. Say it. Changed, rearranged, free from all chains. Woo! In the name of Jesus, I command the anointing of increase on the partners of this meeting, the partners of our ministry. You will speed their seed supernaturally. I command the anointing of increase come on them now. Yes. Now you've got to learn how to keep your eyes open when you receive. As I know you felt it come on you, but look at me. One, two, three, now. It's on you now. I command the anointing of increase. Woo! Glory to God. To come on you now. In Jesus' name, to the glory of God Almighty. Take your place in the kingdom. Now. In Jesus' name, I command, by command authority from the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ, who multiplied fish, walked on water, and turned water into wine, and created the riches of the earth, and owns the cattle on a thousand hills. I command you, walk in the anointing of increase. Coming on you. Look at me. Now. To the glory of God. I said now in Jesus' name. To the glory of God. The time is now. Jesus' name. You will look back on this night and you will say, on that Monday night in Oklahoma, Mississippi, my life, my world changed. Whew. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If there is anybody in the sound of my voice that needs to repent, now is the time. I repented before you and in front of you, and I don't care how mature you get in your walk with God. When the Holy Spirit stirs you up to make adjustments, you make those adjustments. And you be courageous enough to say, this was wrong, and I was doing it, and here's why. But this is right. And here's what will happen. The administration of what's right, righteousness, will come on you. And you will walk in exceeding glory. Father, thank you for the glory that is coming to this church. You said the silver is mine and the gold is mine. And the glory of the latter house is greater than the glory of the former. Father, I thank you that the desire of all nations shall come and hear the forces of the Gentiles the wealth of the nations will come and be piled at their feet. We say there's a Holy Ghost boom coming, and it comes right here, right now, the gold and the glory. And we will use it to preach this gospel. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Saints, I just want to say this. Whoever may be being stirred at this moment to become our partner on any level, whether it's the speed, the seed, one of the 500 or not, on any level, I want to pray for you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, whoever's hearts, our existing partners, and those that you're speaking to right now, I pray for them that the great grace of reproducing your word and revelation on every available voice to the earth in this hour comes on our partners now. May it be like the woman who partnered with the prophet and built a room on her house. She made room for the anointing by partnership. And her barren womb had a child when it was impossible. May each of our partners who now make room for revelation by their sowing and by their partnership, may it be that their barren dreams come alive. And that inside a year, they have, like that widow woman, their dreams in their hands. I'm asking you especially to bless them for helping us preach this gospel to people they may never meet. And Lori and I commit now to live the life that's separated and holy. Holy from sexual sin. Holy from financial wrongdoing. Holy in every way. So that we would not bring a reproach upon the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, nor shame our partners who joined us. We thank you for it. To God be the glory, in Jesus' name. Ladies and gentlemen, I love you. Thank you for letting me be at home. Because there's no way I could have done this just anywhere. And our lives have changed. I really want to encourage you. In fact, with your permission, I'm going to do it. Walking into the glory. That's what the Holy Ghost titled this. I'm sure it's more than one CD. But we'll take both those CDs and we're going to make a set out of it. Walking into the glory. I'm going to put it on the table. I mean, provided, you know, we can get that together. Because I'm just going to tell you, this is going to change a lot of people besides just this church. Because the Holy Ghost was talking to us tonight. We are walking headlong into the glory. He said something to me I didn't say to y'all, but I don't know all this what this means, but Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. Yeah. Enoch walked right on into the glory. Yeah. And that is where we're headed in Jesus' name. I love every one of you, and thank you again for the miracles. Don't miss the glory. Don't miss the glory. Jesus is coming soon.
Wow. Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We just thank you. Father, we receive your word tonight. We make those adjustments. And we commit ourselves to put ourselves before the word. To be full of you is to be full of glory. To be full of you is to be full of every dream and destiny we could ever think about. So our goal is to position ourselves. Faith without works is dead. We can let these words drop to the ground and they won't produce anything unless we put something with it. And that would be ourself. We know what to do and not to do it would not be good. Oh, you better get a good look at yourselves, because you're not going to look this way much longer. You're going to be looking a lot better. Woo, glory to God. Glory to God. Ricky, you've been plowing that field for a long time, buddy. God says it's time to reap what you've been sowing. There's help coming. Glory to God. You know, in the South, we have a saying, you know, when you get through your crop, we got laid by. We laid our crop. Well, you fix it laid by for a while, but let it grow. Praise God. That's great. Well, praise God. Let's all stand to our feet. Glory to God. Glory to God. I believe the Holy Spirit would. Let me share one thing with you. Ministers, and this can go for believers also, especially if you're in a ministry. We need to take serious our call and what we're doing. Jay, I need you right here. Please, sir. This is especially for you. Because the devil takes you serious. You're a threat to him. The world may not. But the sad part is we see ourselves as grasshoppers. And we won't go into the promised land. So, reevaluate your call. Reevaluate your place in God. Your righteous standing with God. And you take that serious and you take it to the bank. And we said it tonight, it's in the scripture, think soberly of yourself and the call and what's in you and on you. Especially you, my brother. You got a tiger in your tank, son. Let it roar. Praise God. We have a sign-up sheet out there by the book table. If you would like the CDs of this Sunday night and tonight, please fill it out right so we can read it. We will mail them to you, no charge, okay? Because we want you to get the word. We want to invest this into you. Praise God. Amen? All right. Come here, Brother Jimmy, Miss Corey. Y'all come up here just a second. Because we're going to be at their church tomorrow night. And they're the finest of the fine, I'm telling you what. And Jimmy and I have had some great conversation. We know what God's got in store and what he's asked us to do together. And we're going to partner in Chickasaw County. It's never going to be the same again because of the word of faith and the word of God and the love that we have between ourselves and all of us. God's got a big thing for Chickasaw County and all of Mississippi. Amen. And we have experienced a boom tonight. Glory to God. Thank you, Jonathan, for obeying the word. Obeying the Lord. Amen. So, y'all, 7 o'clock, right? Tomorrow night? All right. Praise. If you don't know how to get there, run up here in a few minutes and ask them. They'll sure tell you. It's not hard. But they have a great church. They're greatly blessed. Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up tomorrow night, Wednesday night, and Thursday night service to you. God, we thank you. for the covenant blessing and the relationships that we have with one another. That, Lord God, we're not alone. We're hooked up together, and we're all hooked up to you. And, Lord, we thank you for the many, many miracles and the great blessings that's going to happen this week at these churches. And we'll never, ever, ever be the same again. And we'll see ourselves different, and we'll speak differently, and we'll become different. And we give you all the praise for this. And, Lord, we thank you for the gift of Tracy. Lord, I'd have to do that in tongues because I don't have enough English. But Lord, thank you for him. We could never say enough. But Lord, bless him. Keep him strong. We need him so much. The body needs him. And Lord, we give you praise for this. In the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen.